Canceling plans because your knees hurt? Nope, not anymore. Get to Joint Relief Institute. Safe, fast, immediate pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Are we ready yet?
I don't know. Are we ready yet?
I don't know. I'm nervous.
I don't know. Everything looks different.
Let me powder my nose first, okay? Oh, that's right. This is radio.
Hi, kids. Him and her coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida.
Only the technology is advanced. Do not put any pressure on me. Yeah. I am not advanced tonight.
We are not nearly as advanced.
No. There's something about high humidity and high temperatures, and I get very lethargic. And I was like, okay, am I a turtle trying to walk across the room? Yes, I am.
Well, and as we've been dealing with feels like temperatures of about 110, and then we hear Ron say, and it's 72 degrees in Chicago. I got your 72 degrees,
the
Ron.
Last day of spring.
I'm just the reporter here.
And it's been heavenly this past week,
hasn't
it?
Shoot the messenger.
Yeah. Don't do that.
It's been 70s, right?
Yeah, it's nice, pleasant, beautiful.
Yeah, good baseball weather. If only we had some good baseball, right?
Yeah, we got one out of two. Yeah, one out of two.
That.
Yeah. Good day. Good weather to watch a game.
Yes. If you don't mind. It's not your team that's playing.
If you don't mind a little disappointment right. to go along with that.
Right, yes. Yeah.
By the way, if you would like to see our adventures wandering into the radio station, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see Johnny posted a bunch of pictures. Believe it or not, traffic jams as we're driving in to this radio station tonight.
Hell yeah, welcome to summer, and kids are out of school, and this is a tourist town, and let's all go there. And they did this weekend.
And also, when you check out our Facebook page, you will see that I posted a picture of our Panhandle production crew.
Yes.
Tom Hoots and Becca Stark.
All right, Becca, sign in. Ms. Becca.
Hello, hello. How are we doing tonight?
Okay. You tell us, Becca. You've been listening on the other side of that microphone going, okay, they're kind of freaking out over here. Not really.
And also in the studio with us, Tom Hoots. Hey, yes. Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hello. Well, you've managed to keep me up already past my bedtime. But
that's true.
We'll check back in an hour and see if I'm still conscious.
Tom took a nap today so he could stay till 10 because that's past his bedtime.
And Tom has been doing an incredible job of setting things up in the studio, because a little later tonight we have two of our favorite people, Jack and Jen, who are not really Jack and Jen. They are
neither Jack nor Jen.
That's right.
They're actually Eli and Sandy, but we'll explain all that to you later, because they have a brand new wonderful album that they're going to be premiering tonight, and they're going to be doing some of the songs from the album, and we're going to do some video, and after the video is done, our videographer, Julian, is going to work his magic, and you will find that appearing on the Steve and Johnny YouTube page and on our blog.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm a little upset about this Jack and Jen thing.
Because
I asked them to release that on my radio show instead of yours, and you guys beat me to it.
Because you get to release it locally on Tuesday on your show, Sound Sessions, right?
Yes, and I have special guests on Tuesday besides Jack and Jen. I'm going to have these people from Chicago that are here. I hear they're great radio people.
Yeah, the bums that rolled in here.
I think they're just looking for a cool place to spend an hour, actually.
That's right, yes. And it is nice and cool here tonight.
Yeah. So if you would like to hear us as we join Tom Hoots on his Sound Session show, that will be Tuesday at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just tell Alexa or whoever you feel like telling, play WKGC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you can hear it.
Yeah. Hang on, because you never know what's going to happen. Becca will be our engineer, and you never know if she's going to engineer or just throw things at me, which both happen at the same time.
I've been told the audience likes it when I throw things at you. So either way, you're welcome.
Okay.
Becca, what they really like is the sound of the echo when it hits his head. And it just kind of boing,
Put a lot of reverb on that. It sounds better on the radio.
By the way, these bathrooms have the best echo.
They do.
Yes. I walked in there and I was like, okay, just flicking the light on.
So next week we're going to do the show from the
bathroom. From the bathroom,
okay.
Yes.
I got long mic cables. That's not a problem.
Uh-oh, he likes a challenge, too. Well, we have a lot coming up for the next 5 hours because we're here till 2 o'clock in the morning.
And we also want to introduce, this is his first night flying solo.
Yes.
Our brand new producer, Jonathan Lyle.
Hey, hello, Jonathan.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
Am I coming in clear?
You're coming in loud and clear.
You're coming in clear.
How are you doing on your side?
Everything's clicking. We look good on this end.
No, don't let that delay confuse you because...
That's just us.
Yeah, that's our norm. So
you got it.
Yes. And Bob is our engineer, the keeper of the big plug, who keeps us out of trouble every Saturday night. He is in control of everything, so that should probably scare you, Steve. I'm in good with him. I don't know about you. But,
well,
you know,
wait a minute.
I'm okay.
I was doing fine with him when we left. Bob, is there something I should know?
No, absolutely not. I'm just driving the bus. Don't, don't disparage.
You're trying to start trouble already.
Yeah, no.
I'm just trying. You know what? I was actually trying to throw Steve under that bus.
I noticed.
Never mind. Well, we're going to take a break. Come back. We'll tell you all about what's coming up. I think we're also going to get a little movie review from our weather dude, because Ron does that on Thursdays on Lisa's show. So I'm curious about the number one movie at the box office this weekend.
Okay.
So a whole lot more coming up right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We should give you a quick idea of what we have in the game plan for tonight. Now, whether or not we stick to that game plan, that's a whole different question. Coming up a little later tonight, our buddy Gino, the showbiz machino, Gino Salamone, is going to join us. And we're going to get a showbiz update. I think he just came back from New York.
He just got some good news about the Odyssey opening, which is going to be a big summer movie. And we're definitely going to spend some time talking about the one and only James Burrows, who passed away.
Also a little later tonight, around 10:30, Jack and Jen, Eli Ingram and Sandy Marlisa, they're going to be in studio. They have a terrific new album called A Southern Gothic Tale.
I love the title.
And the album, this is absolutely their best album.
Yep.
And they're going to be sharing some of the new songs with us. Then midnight, Dr. Patrick Crispin will join us. And oh boy, do we have stuff to talk about with him. We've had some problems with things that we find other people are having to deal with, too.
Yep. Like bad people out there spoofing social media pages and friends saying, is this you? I didn't think it was you because this person only has 3 friends. Yep. So I figured it wasn't really you. Anyway, he will talk about that. And there's some crazy hacks to make you aware of. And the story that came out of the Addison.
Was it Addison or Arlington?
It was Addison and the Naperville Police Department put out a press release about the bad people.
It has to do with if you think it's CAPTCHA, is it really CAPTCHA? So we'll talk about that.
So the bad people are trying to catch you with CAPTCHA, but he'll explain it to you. And you can get us anytime at 312-981-7200. Our text line is hopping tonight, and that's a great way to get a hold of us. And we would like you to, just stick with us throughout the night because we got a whole bunch of stuff planned.
Yeah.
It is a weekend. We've been very busy. We haven't had a chance to get to the movie with the rest of the world that's down here. The only other really cool place that we can go. But Ron Brown does movie reviews with Lisa Dent on Thursday afternoons. And Ron, I've got to know if you've seen the number one movie this weekend, Toy Story 5.
Oh, I didn't see Toy Story 5 yet, but that's certainly on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I did see Disclosure Day.
Well, I'm kind of on the fence about Toy Story 5. I'm like, I just read a couple reviews, and both critics said, I was in a theater with all adults. I thought, well, wait a minute. I kind of wanted to have a fun, nostalgic kids experience, but
yeah, exactly. So I mean, movie it crosses lines. I mean, it's about it's about growing up and discarding your childhood toys or maybe not. Well, but
and that's one of the things that I have a problem with that all of a sudden we see.
Woody,
who is losing his hair and becoming paunchy. I'm sorry, toys don't do that.
I showed Steve a picture of Woody with a bald spot, and he goes, what? He's got a bald spot? I said, yeah, and it's kind of a big part of the movie, the fact that he's getting old.
Although, objectively, I do have to say that my longest lifelong friend, mm-hmm. Pinky,
yes,
the dog who thinks he's a bear, he has... lost some of his hair.
No, Pinky has no hair. Pinky has every bit of his hair loved off. So I'm here to tell you, that dog who thinks he's a bear
Pinky
is...
Pinky has been with me since I was roughly 2 years old.
Yeah, Pinky's... He's seen better days.
So I guess now that I think about it, yeah, I guess toys do to age.
They do age, yes. Okay, so Disclosure Day.
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were gonna talk about. Did not see Toy
two.
Story 5, but that is on the agenda. I will be watching that soon. Disclosure Day. Have you got a chance to see it yet?
No, because we were going to go, and I said, I don't like to buy a ticket and sit where I don't want to sit. It was really, really packed, again, because there's so many tourists in town.
Oh, I
so,
see.
No,
yeah,
we
so yeah, you don't want to sit too close to the screen. And that's I'm with you
exactly.
on that.
Exactly.
But buy a ticket and check it out. I gave it a mixed review. There is a lot to like about it. I mean, it's a Steven Spielberg movie. I had some problems with some plot holes very early on, and they continued throughout. Other people, they can suspend disbelief and not worry about that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and then just accept that, well, why did that happen? Because it did. Well, mm-hmm. my brain doesn't work that way. I roll my eyes, and I say, that doesn't make sense to me, you know. Even though I'm watching a science fiction movie, but it's not the science fiction that had me puzzled. It was more of like the real world stuff that it was just like, that's, you know, a government agency who's chasing somebody with top secret information doesn't just let them go. You know, I mean, it just doesn't happen. They just don't. And it happens over and over again. So that was the problem that I had. But it looks great. The acting is, fantastic. You know, if it's a Steven Spielberg movie, he can attract the greatest actors mm-hmm. that there are. So I would still recommend seeing it for that reason. And then come away with your own, opinions. But I wouldn't put my hopes up too high on it, to tell you the truth.
Interesting. Well, you're not alone, because I'm reading that and hearing that more and more.
But I'm really curious about Emily Blunt, who is getting nothing but rave reviews.
Yeah. She's very good. The acting is good.
And cinematography done by, as a graduate of Columbia College, I like to give him a shout out, because he's done most of the big Spielberg movies. Jaminski. He's the cinematographer.
It looks wonderful.
A graduate of Columbia College.
It looks wonderful, and there's that great Spielberg lighting. You know, that's it doesn't look real, but it does look cool. You know, it's just it puts you in the frame. You know,
it's a good 2.5 hours long. Was it too long for you?
It wasn't the length that bothered me at all. It kind of moved kind of fast, because there are several chases in there, and I think the chases are in there just to have something interesting in there before they do the big reveal, because it takes about an hour and 45 minutes, I thought, before it ever really got kind of interesting, and then it lost me again. It's hard to talk about it without trying to give without giving away too much, but I think everybody knows there's an alien plot in there, and that there's a couple of people that want to share this information that they have with the rest of the world, and a big bad government agency doesn't want them to do that. So that's the the premise.
All right, and wrapping it up, how many brownie points?
I still gave it 3 out of 5 brownie points, because I said it's a Steven Spielberg movie. You have to see it. Mm-hmm. It's part of the cultural language when you're talking about movies. You can't. I don't think you can. Mm-hmm. As a movie fan, you can't not see it. Whether it be at the movie theaters, whether it be at the movie theaters or waiting for a home video, but a Spielberg movie, you should see at the theaters.
Let me correct myself, too. It's, I blended his name. The J is Jamis. It's Kaminsky.
Kaminsky.
From Columbia College.
Yeah, yes. It looks beautiful.
I'm proud of him as a graduate.
Yeah, it
looks great. Okay, now we're going to ask you to take off your movie hat and put the popcorn aside and put on your news hat.
I can do that.
We're going to take a break for a news update right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Some sad news. One of the founding members of the group Chicago, Walter Perezeta, died Wednesday at 81 following an Alzheimer's diagnosis.
Yeah, really sad because I think it was about 4 years ago when he announced that he was no longer going to be touring with Chicago. So that was his retirement. And then shortly after that, he announced that, in fact, he had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
And he was really one of the, not only one of the founding members, but one of the members that was integral. Thank you.
We're here for each other.
Okay, good.
I'll fill in the blanks for you.
To the group's sound.
Yes.
Because he brought that whole brass sound and combining brass with rock. And I hadn't seen Walter for years. I knew Walter, but it had been probably not since the 70s that I last saw him.
Yeah.
Because back in my rock and roll youth days, I worked with some of the members of Chicago. And I will always remember, it was a fun memory, after I got out of actively performing and got into radio, when I was down in Indianapolis, and the radio station I was working for, WNAP, they brought Chicago in for a major concert. And it was such a weird feeling, growing up on the South Side with a lot of these guys and then being on the stage and introducing them. It was a really strange, wonderful feeling. And then after the concert, we were over at a motel and just sharing some memories
doing
and stuff.
But rock and roll kind of things, right?
Really just talking and having a good time. But he was, you know, what a talent.
Oh, my gosh.
What a loss.
Saxophonist, I guess any number of instruments he could play. And the song Saturday in the Park, as I understand it, he was really, no pun intended, instrumental on the whole arrangement of that song.
Yeah. So
it was nice to hear it, and it was sad to hear the news about his passing.
Yeah, and his wife had posted the news saying that he passed away on Wednesday. So
now he's from born in Maywood, and there was another local loss. Harvey boy, Tom Dreesen, passed away.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a shock. 86 years old, still working.
Tom Dreesen, who for years opened for Frank Sinatra.
Sure.
And we've all had Tom on our shows. Tom was a very accessible guy who was always happy to show up. Even if it was a last minute, you need a guest, he'd be there with wonderful stories.
And the interesting thing is, I think he knew that people really, really loved him and what he did. Because I feel strongly that I want people to know this while they're alive. Don't wait till they pass to give them the awards and give them the attention and the love and the accolades. But he knew that he was really, really beloved. And Sinatra certainly made it known he loved love the guy. He wanted him to open for him. I remember him, as you do, with Tim Reed as Tim and Tom.
Yeah. That was, and this goes back to, oh boy, when did I first start talking to them as Tim and Tom? This would have been
late 60s.
Well, I first talked to them about that. I remember this was back in the early 80s on WIND. Yeah. I had both of them on talking about the whole Tim and Tom phenomenon, because it really was.
It was,
And they were fun to watch, because any comedian has prepared stuff, but you could tell a lot of what they did, they were kind of riffing off each other and having fun. They came to the stage with a game plan, but they were both prepared to veer and turn right or left depending on how the night went.
And then Tim went on to have great success with the sitcom
WKRP.
but I'm talking about the one where he was the bar owner.
Oh, Frank's Place.
Frank's Place, yes.
Great, great show.
That was a good show.
That only went on for what, two or three seasons?
It was a good show.
If you want to see a really, really good, you never see it in reruns show, look up Frank's Place. I think you can still find some of the videos on YouTube. It is wonderful show.
Why don't you see it as one of the oldies but goodies?
Because everybody wants to make monies with Friends and the Big Bang and stuff like that.
The same episodes over and over.
And there are more episodes of Friends and Big Bang and the Seinfeld.
And Frank's Place was really a smart show.
Yeah,
and
very
smart. He was wonderful. And
along with his wife, whose name I'm trying to think of. Daphne, yes.
It scares me when random things like that come to mind because I have these big blanks about all the other serious important things, but I'm like, her name is...
And this may be an interesting show because we're both having the same blank spots at the same time tonight. Usually one of us is able to say, oh, that was Fred over there. But no, that's not how it's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, it's the heat. Blame the heat. Okay.
Okay.
Becca, are you buying that? The heat? Thumbs up? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You wearing a sweatshirt and with a hoodie. And like she's
It's cold
there.
In here.
It is a little chilly.
It's a little chilly.
But I'm not complaining.
I was warned ahead of time.
Yeah, because we're going to be slaving over a hot microphone for the rest of the night. So we need to keep it cool in here.
Exactly.
And you know how Jack and Jen are, too, when they come in here. Then we'll heat up the joint.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. So... and I mentioned earlier that another name, a big name that passed, we'll talk with our buddy Gino about James Burrows passing.
Yeah.
That was another big surprise, too.
Yeah. So, well, we have a lot of things coming up, so why don't we take a break and then get to some of those other things. So stay with us at WGN.
Just a little bit softer now. Yeah. I wanted to be sure that we could sneak in some of our shout-outs because we have a really busy show and I was afraid the night would slip away from us and we wouldn't get a chance to say hey to Sherry and Bob in Arlington Heights who are tuned in saying happy summer, it's finally here. Sherry Hanrahan is back in Romeoville tonight. I love this one. A listener was tuned in last week when we had Todd Wilbur on the phone and Jean Jacobson heard Todd talk about the Portillo's chocolate cake because Todd has come up with a cookbook with recipe hacks. And one of the hacks is the Portillo's chocolate cake where he divulges the secret to the chocolate cake is mayonnaise. And Jean Jacobson said that she and her granddaughter made it and it was a hit. And now I'm hungry for the chocolate cake that I brought in for the show tonight. And the show just started. Mike from Elmwood Park is tuned in. Bonnie and George and Elgin are listening. Miriam and Seneca. Bing Besh is in Winfield.
Bing Besh.
Jim G is in Koshkonong Township up in Wisconsin. Whiting, Indiana. Rob and Amy are checking in. Also, I love this one. Steve and Johnny, I managed to rebattery the radio just in time. I'm listening via the radio broadcast tonight. That's our buddy Pete Lawrence. Peter Lawrence. Thank you, Peter. Orland Park is George Mustas. Forgive me, George. I think I just butchered your name. I'm looking at it again. Mustas. Well, I love you, George. Thank you for listening. David Shine, Sherry in Bolingbrook. Stacy Drager is in Algonquin. Our buddy Bobby Danos out in Sandwich is listening, as well as Miss Tusick. She's nice enough to tune in. Bobby got her to listening every Saturday night. Eric Baum, oh my gosh. Eric is a traveling man. He says he's looking at our pictures at Panama City and Panama City Beach, and he says, looks like a great place to put on my travel plans next year after my two-week Rhine River cruise with nine of my college friends from Valpo University. That's the way to do it. Diane Vasquez is our graphics guru from Northwest Indiana. Thank you, Diane. Darlene Larson's in Madison, Wisconsin. Brian Lefevre, Bridgeport. Beverly Goodall. Jeff Afafa Oland is in McHenry tonight. Donna Marie is listening to us in Norridge. And again, you can see our pictures, Drive to Work. That is not Lakeshore Drive that you're seeing. That's actually...
It's not?
It's not. It's Beach Drive as we're driving along the Gulf. And that big bridge, I gave you some explanations of what you're going to see in the pictures tonight. So enjoy the trip. with all the traffic.
By the way, you mentioned W26. So let me segue to a second to some of the people that are checking out our blog. And Debbie had checked into our blog and said, I will be listening on my phone in Saanich. Then Frederick said, sounds good. And Robin Aiken, listening from Port Charlotte, Florida. And let's see. This is My Gold says, sounds like an awesome show. Hubby and I will be listening from Tinley Park with our clock radio. And speaking of our blog, I always like to take a look and see where people are checking out our blog. And this always fascinates us.
It better be China.
Well,
I can't go on unless China's checking us out.
It amazes me the amount of countries that check out our blog.
Mm-hmm.
So the top 10 countries this week checking out our blog, the United States, followed by Hong Kong, SAR, China, which is different than China, and then Germany, Belgium, Serbia.
Oh, a new one this week.
Austria, Sweden, the Netherlands, and Italy. Those are the top 10 countries checking out our blog this week, and we thank you for checking out our blog. And you can find our blog at steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love it if you would subscribe. There's no fee. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post.
Right, right. And you get a lot of stuff that you might not get right away over on the Facebook side, because I have days where I hate Facebook. Simple as that, because they change things.
Yeah, and those days are increasing more and more.
Yes.
And you may get some interesting pictures that you don't get on Facebook either on our blog.
Right. You're right. Edward Summers is tuned in. Also, Donna Youngheim is listening in Florida. No, she says, hope Father's Day in Florida is exciting. She's in Oak Lawn. But we always have a whole bunch of Floridas. Folks tuned in. Chuck Snitchler is in Northwest Indiana, Valpo, and he, as I always say, is the best friend to this radio station and the best friend to this show. I mentioned Eric Baum. He's in Wells Beach, Maine. Scott Cooper is tuned in from Naperville. Susie Schemmel is in Glen Ellen. Judy B. is also in Oak Lawn. Sends us a picture of her. Oh, that's interesting. Look at the picture of her screen with 720.
Well, yeah, as it should be.
Well, I know. I like the mute button.
And that's what you see on all the Sea Crane radios, too.
Exactly, yes. Tracy Douglas is in Nashville. Also tuned in is Paul Osha, who's in Plant City, Florida. And I can't think of Plant City that I don't think of Bob Collins, because that was kind of his neck of the woods as he was growing up. Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. Larry Mann is in Miami, Florida. They all jumped in one after the other tonight. And what a weird story about the wildfires in Miami.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Closed down one of the major expressways.
Yeah. Terrifying. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida, not Texas. Donna Marie is in Chicago. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Carrie Hunt is in Ruskin, Florida. I don't know Ruskin, Florida. Tom, do you know Ruskin, Florida? Does that ring a bell?
No, I don't.
No.
I was going to say, they shut down the Florida Turnpike. Those brush fires came right up against the Turnpike.
Really?
There were some amazing videos. Some drone shots.
And they had to shut down completely one of the one direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was the blackest smoke. That's what I thought. Yeah. I don't know what I was expecting, but I thought, wow. And you've got traffic, and there's the fire right there. So for our listener in Miami, if you want to give us an update on what's happening in your world, Judy Graham is in Plainfield. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Jack and Jen checked in to say, hey, we'll be seeing you soon. Kathy Abner is in Peoria. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, Florida. So I think we've got like six or seven cities in Florida. And we even have a listener who is down the road a piece in Santa Rosa Beach. And he says, I've seen those places before. So... Tom Murphy's in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Kimberly Selke is in Tempe, Arizona. Todd Moe is in Egg Harbor, which we like to say every week is God's country, because it truly is. So there you have it. If I missed you this week, I apologize. I promise I'll get you next week. Todd Glassman just quickly jumped in here from Lake Zurich. And you can get us throughout the program at 312-981-7200. So we're coming up on Father's Day and the first day of summer. I felt like Father's Day came late this year, but it's always the third Sunday in June.
But I think it's unusual for Father's Day and the first day of summer to be on the same day.
Yes, I think it probably means Dad should not have to grill. Dad should be taken to a restaurant instead of grilling. Because didn't we learn on Mother's Day that you always take Mom out to eat, but you always make Dad grill on his day?
The other thing is Dad shouldn't have to mow the lawn on Father's Day.
No, Dad shouldn't have to mow the lawn or even take the garbage out. Even though garbage gets picked up on Monday, he should get one day off, right?
Especially when the heat index is 110.
Yes, that's right. Becca, are you going to see your papa?
Yes, I am. We're going to go out and watch Masters of the Universe tomorrow.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Our big plan.
Is that Dad's choice to go see Masters of the Universe? Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see what you think of it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you a fan, or are you just going for Dad?
I've seen some clips.
It looks
good.
But
mostly going for Dad, if we're being honest. But I'm sure I will have a great time, and I'll give you all my opinion next week.
Yeah. Now, do you get to see many movies? Because I know you're working full-time in television when you're not hanging out here on the weekend.
Yeah, no. One of the nice things about getting the Monday through Friday schedule, I have seen more movies. I saw the Backrooms movie last weekend.
I did.
By myself for the 11 p.m. viewing.
What did you think?
Were you terrified? A little bit. I'm not a huge horror fan, but like all of my friends from different parts of the country are like, Becca, what did you think of Backrooms? I'm like, I didn't see it, so I had to go see it. I thought it was really good. It did unnerve me a little bit, but that's the genre.
I like the concept of it.
The concept's really good. It's one of those movies where for me personally, it was like I didn't fully understand it while sitting there watching the movie. It kind of took me like an extra day of just thinking on it to really grasp more of the concepts. Mm-hmm. It definitely is one of those movies I think is probably more like you get something out of it out of the second viewing as well.
Huh. Did it look like it was only $1 million movie?
Because no, it looks phenomenal.
Thing. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
How much have they made now? I mean, that's just a...
And isn't he like 23 years old?
21. He just turned 21.
Really?
Yes. I believe so. I may be thinking of the other guy, actually. There's another Obsession. It's either...
Obsession.
It's either him or... Because there's both very young directors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And very...
Obsession I have not seen. I have also been told it's really good, though.
A very tiny budget for both of them. Because you're talking about movies like Disclosure. I mean, triple digits.
Yeah.
And these guys come along for $1 million. They make a movie that people are going out to see.
Yeah. I imagine it's got a lot to do with just... They're used to working on low budgets, so they have to make it very intentional design choices and stuff in order
and
for that to work.
They understand the technology,
yes.
So they can use the technology.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I was very impressed with Backrooms.
Very good.
Okay. I think this is one of the first times that somebody who is working mostly with independent streaming movies suddenly, whoops, here we go, a theater release, and you're making a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, and we're going to make you the top five movie as you move into summer, which is really huge because it's going to have legs all summer long. Well, we have so much coming up tonight. Speaking of showbiz, we will visit with our buddy Gino after the 10 o'clock news. But news is next, right here on WGN.
Well, boys and girls, once again, it's time for us to take a look into the inhabitants of the big and
small
screens and find out just how big or
small
they really are. And here with all the pertinent poop, it's the pertinent poopmeister, his own bad self, Gino,
the showbiz machino.
You know, there was a time when we all forgot how that went, that intro. I'm so glad you've got it.
It's frightening when the obscure things come back, but the important things, like I'm looking at Steve going, Steve. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's your name.
Yeah. How to pass the driving test? I don't know, but do I remember the Gino showbiz intro? Yes. Yeah, the important stuff stays
How are you, Gino?
I'm doing great.
How are you?
New York for some interviews last week, and going in a week and a half for the Odyssey, which is probably the most eagerly awaited movie of the year. And when I got the lineup of who I'm talking to, I was thrilled because, Milwaukee has fallen by the wayside market size. But I'm going to talk to Christopher Nolan, the director, Matt Damon, Anne Hathaway, Tom Holland, Lupita Nyong'o, Zendaya, John Leguizamo. I mean,
wow.
I cannot wait.
Wow.
It's a shame you couldn't get any of the A-listers.
Yeah, really? Do you find it weird, though, when you see Matt Damon in The Odyssey? Because I find it a little odd.
Yes, but I'm going to be going with an open mind. I haven't seen it yet. I'm hoping.
Yes.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But
yeah.
Remaining hopeful. How about that?
Oh, I am very hopeful about it. In fact, what?
Go ahead.
It doesn't matter?
No, I was going to say it doesn't matter any more about these big budget movies. You've got these 20-year-old directors doing horror movies for under $1 million and making a fortune. I mean, this is where the business is at.
Yep. We were just
talking about that before the news.
Yeah. Backrooms and Obsession, which is just blows my mind for under $1 million and in the top 10 week after week, which is really incredible. Well, who did you talk to when you went to New York? Who were you checking out?
John Cena and Eric Andre for a Netflix movie called Little Brother. Christopher Maloney, mm-hmm. I spoke with him as well. And, you know, it's the crude comedy line that they always try to push a little bit. So if you like that, I think you'll like Little Brother. But if you're offended easily, not the movie for you.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I have to ask you, is John Cena as much of a fun interview as I would think he would be?
You know, he's more serious than you would think. And it makes me feel old because he's always very respectful. And I'm like, no, I want to play. I'm here to play.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'd be like poking him, trying to get him to crack up. And of course, he's all muscle. Yeah, I don't think I want to go about poking John Cena.
No.
Right?
But I will tell you this. I shook his hand, and my hand, I felt like a child. His hands are so big.
That's funny. Well, we should tell our listeners, you're very active on Facebook. In fact, one of our listeners sent me a private message when she saw that you were going to be on the show tonight and said, tell Gino I love his bird pictures, because you do some pretty amazing photography, Gino.
Yeah, just within the past year, you've really gotten into that.
Yeah.
And you got some pretty fancy cameras now, don't you?
Yes. Yes. My cousin said, she said, you know what? I'm not going to leave you stuff after I die. She bought me a lens that is just incredible, and what a generous gift it's been. And I have to tell you, it is my favorite hobby, and I was at Horicon Marsh yesterday for about 3 hours, and I just love it. It's peaceful. It's quiet. And, you know, if you're having a rough day, go out and walk in nature for a half hour. You'll feel so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Horicon Marsh, isn't it known for an influx of what birds? Is it eagles or what?
A lot of egrets, and there are eagles there and all kinds of hawks. And, of course, so many duck species. But it's just really a special place, and I'm so glad that it exists. You know, nothing is encroached on it. Mm. No one's trying to build on it, as you know, in Florida. There's always a subdivision going up somewhere, and precious land that that animals need goes away.
Oh, yeah. Don't we know it? Considering that we have the only unbuilt property on our block.
Literally, we're going to wind up owning the last trees in Bay County because we have some land that we own that we refuse to do anything with, and we keep getting offers. Oh, don't you want to say, no, we want some room for the birds.
And the foxes. And
now, literally, it's not unusual a block down from our little house to see videos of black bears wandering around in the middle of the night because we've taken all their land away.
They got no place to go. Yeah. That's crazy.
Amazing.
Gino, hang on for us. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about Eric McCormick from Will and Grace had the greatest comment about James Burrows, who just passed away yesterday. He called him the 800-pound gorilla of television. So we're going to spend a little bit of time and talk with Gino about James Burrows coming up here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking showbiz with Gino Salamone. And, Gino, the blatant plug light has just started flashing. So along with people being able to see you on Fox 6 up in Milwaukee, were there some other places they should land to check out what you're doing?
Yes. Well, YouTube, watch Gino TV. I have a channel. In fact, tomorrow I'm putting up the John Cena, Eric Andre interview. And I'm going to put up all those from The Odyssey because, you know, people are going to check this movie out. I want to be able to give them some information about it beforehand.
Well, that's great. And we've already decided, Steve's brother taught English
yes.
for almost 40 years. And I said, the night that The Odyssey opens, I know he'll be there to see it. We're going to have him on to talk about the book, the original Odyssey, and the movie, because he's a movie savant. I know he's going to be there. He's going to love this, but it's going to be fun to find out how it differs from the actual story of the Odyssey. But let's talk about James Burroughs.
Wait a minute. What? You're telling me there was a book? I'm just kidding.
Whoops. You have to read that before you interview that cast of characters.
The whole book.
Yeah, the whole book, yes. let's talk about James Burroughs, because I know him. I know the name. I know what he's responsible for. But gosh, I did not realize how much that we have all grown up watching and loving.
From James. Cheers and Will and Grace, Mary Tyler Moore.
Friends. I mean, the list goes on and on. Eric McCormick called him the 800-pound gorilla of television comedy for 50 years. He was beloved by everyone and has left not a mark but a footprint. And boy.
And there was some interview I saw yesterday, and they said someone asked him how he wanted to be remembered. And he said, after he's gone, there will not be a house on the planet where you won't be able to turn to something that he's done all the time.
Yikes.
Yes.
And that's
pretty true. 1,000 episodes. And he had a book out within the past year, and I got to spend 20 minutes with him. And it is so interesting. He was, you know, his father was Abe Burroughs, a legend who did Guys and Dolls. And he was working. James was working as a stage manager, and he wrote a letter to Grant Tinker and Mary Tyler Moore because he had worked on a Broadway show that Mary Tyler Moore did that was just a horrible experience for her, and she would come off stage every night crying, and James was always there. He wrote that letter, and as a result, came out to L.A. and started working on the Mary Tyler Moore show. And I will tell you, so many great stories. The book is called Directed by James Burroughs. I mean, when you think of Taxi, too, that's one we didn't mention.
Oh, yeah.
And, sure.
Yeah,
he told me the story of Friends. He said he knew it was going to be big and something special, so he convinced Warner Brothers to let him take the 6 cast members to Las Vegas for a weekend. And they got on the plane, and they were talking, and James Burroughs said to them, "You need to stick together. Whatever you do, this is going to be a huge success, and it's not going to work well unless you stick together." And that's exactly what they did. And he said, "And this is the last time you will have anonymity, because once this show happens, your lives will change." Wow. And he was absolutely right.
Wasn't their negotiations a classic example of that? Because into the runs of Friends, they all said, "No, we're not doing this unless everybody's getting paid
the same." Yeah.
Exactly right. Yep. And they stuck to it. And that's why there was no dissension in that cast. Everybody got the same. And they were, you know, just this solidified group that wasn't going to let anyone mess up their chemistry.
He brought
So what made him approach this business with that kind of a framework where he would say to them at the infancy of their career, "Okay, you really kind of got to keep your feet on the ground.
And hold on to each other.
Solidify your bond." And
you know what? Because he worked with so many casts before that and big ensembles, when you think about it. So he knew, you know, there were people that left shows, and he had a great eye for talent on replacing those people. Now, I wrote a letter to, there was an old man on Cheers who would have one word or one line. He sat at the bar, and I said, you know, we wanted to honor him. So I convinced the people at Cheers. They let us come out for a week, and the morning show that I worked with, they got to sit at the bar, and We spent a week with the cast, and I spent most of that week watching James Burrows because he was the glue, you know? He was. You would see these writers standing on the sidelines laughing only at their jokes, and you could always tell who wrote what by the loud laugh. But James Burrows, he talked about replacing, you know, Coach died on the set. He had a heart attack and died on the set. They brought in Woody. Yep. Shelley Long left. They bring in Kirstie Alley.
Right.
So we always have this great eye for talent. And, you know, John Mahoney, he talked about in Frasier that, you know, he brought John Mahoney in and he didn't like John Mahoney's recliner. He said it looked too new, so he put a piece of tape on it. Looked like it was torn, and it's little details like that. Imagine a director that, you know, with an eye that particular.
Yeah. And as we talk about these shows, I just learned in reading a bit more about his history that the last episode of Cheers was the most watched behind the last episode of MASH.
Yep.
And I knew I loved the show, but I had no idea that it was that popular.
Well, and when you look at the numbers of those shows at that time, you know, the audiences were huge. Now a hit is about a third of the audience of some of those, you know. There's so many choices, it's hard to have that big group experience of most of the nation watching something.
And that was back in the day when something like Cheers was appointment television. The whole country really was watching it.
Because we couldn't stream it, and we couldn't put... Yeah. And we weren't even videotaping then, right? We didn't have VCRs.
Right.
I think...
Or maybe we did, but...
VCRs were just...
Yeah, it was...
But you couldn't time shift the way you can with DVRs.
Right.
Exactly right.
Wow.
Okay. We have a couple minutes left, don't we?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. I saw that you guys use AI to great effect. So I asked AI about if there was a made-for-TV movie about the WGN husband and wife broadcasters, Steve King and Johnny Putman, who the casting choices would be.
Oh, no.
No. Do not be insulted. These are great. To play Steve King. To play Steve King, Bob Odenkirk. Now, the reason AI says he has the Chicago background, dry humor, intelligence, and conversational warmth needed to portray Steve without turning him into a radio personality caricature.
Wow.
Are you ready, Johnny?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready, but because I, by the way, Steve, I think you look better than Bob. I love Bob, but you're cuter than him. Go ahead.
All right. To play Johnny Putman.
You can stay.
Yes.
Amy Ryan. Okay, here's why they chose Amy Ryan. Yes. She could capture Johnny's warmth, quick wit, sincerity, and easy rapport with listeners. She also pairs naturally with Odenkirk as an intelligent, believable, longtime spouse and professional partner. How great is that?
But boy, we have obviously successfully fooled AI because they think we're intelligent.
Well, you know what? I'm liking Amy. She's a blonde and she's a good decade younger than me, so I'm all for that. Yes.
This is what I find so frightening. In 6 seconds, it said, my strongest choice is Bob Odenkirk and Amy Ryan. The movie could follow their meeting at WIND, their pairing at WGN beginning in the 1980s, and their rise to hosting one of Chicago's most successful overnight programs. Steve and Johnny ultimately completed more than 6,000 programs together, making the relationship itself, not merely radio, the heart of the story. I want to see this movie.
Wow, that's freaking me out.
I want to know these people.
So you just said to ChatGPT, do the movie.
I said, and who would play Steve King and Johnny Putman in a made-for-TV movie? Never gave WGN. Never gave any of the details.
Wow.
And in 6 seconds,
that's spooky.
It came up with that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but now here's the key question. What kind of a budget would we have?
Right.
Well, do you want to hear a couple more pairings?
Sure.
Yes.
That is a natural, and that's Bonnie Hunt as Johnny. But... pairing her with David Hyde Pierce. as
David Hyde Pierce?
That's
wow.
Okay.
Okay, we have Tom in studio here shaking his head. He gets it. Well, I don't believe
it's,
it.
No, it's the personality and the rapid hit humor. That's
it's the fastidiousness.
Well, I don't know about
that. I love this one. Michael McKean and Christine Baranski. Now, ideal for a livelier, witty version of this movie, although Baranski would need a softer visual transformation.
Christine would need a softer transformation to be me.
That's
I would settle for her any day. Wow. Wow. But back to Bonnie Hunt, I honestly wrote down on my scratch pad right here before you said, I thought, it's going to be Bonnie Hunt.
We've had such fun interviews. It's been too long since we talked with her.
When did you last talk with Bonnie Hunt, Gino?
What's that?
I know. When did you last talk with Bonnie Hunt? Because she's kind of been out of the limelight for quite some time.
Okay. I will tell you, this is going to sound like a stupid Hollywood name-dropping story, but Bill Rosenthal, the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond and the host of Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix, has a Sunday movie night. And he showed Tootsie one night, and Bill Murray, Dustin Hoffman, and I forgot who else showed up to watch the movie, and everybody talked about the movie with them. I was invited to the night Purple Rain was shown. And Jerome from The Time and Jimmy Jam, the music producer who worked with Prince, were there and talked about the making of the movie. And that is where I saw Bonnie Hunt last. She's a frequent guest at Sunday movie night.
Wow. What a lineup right there. You know what? Every time I talk to you, I'm thinking, you got a really good gig, and it's great that they don't pay you because you get all of these other perks that go along with it. Right?
The next time you see Bonnie, tell her we said hi, and we'll send her a script. She can read for the part of Johnny.
Yes. I'd be happy to do that. Yes. Well, Gino, thank you.
Wait a minute. You said I'm not paid. What? Did you ask ChatGPT? Because they could tell you, I'm not paid a lot. But I'm still here.
Well, thank you for joining us, though. We always love to have an excuse to chat with you, and we appreciate it.
Always
and folks
pleasure.
Can watch you on Gino TV on YouTube, too.
Yes.
And check Gino out on Fox 6 in Milwaukee.
Yeah. And let's plan on talking right after you see The Odyssey, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Gino. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's Gino Salamone.
That's always fun to talk to.
Yeah.
I like that. Bonnie Hunt. Okay. We got to take a break. Jack and Jen coming up after the news. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Again, this is a case of, I want to let this play.
I know.
But if I let it play, we won't be able to talk to two of our absolute favorite people, Jack and Jen, who in their secret identities of Eli Ingram and Sandy Marlisa have been nice enough to join us in studio. Hey, kids, how you doing?
Hey. Wonderful.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you for having us.
And that was a little Black Lace, the first time it's played on the radio, right?
Yes. It sure is.
Yes, congratulations. You've got a brand new CD.
We do.
The CD is called A Southern Gothic Tale.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
I like that sound.
Perfect title, A Southern Gothic Tale.
Thank you. We were very proud of that.
You should be. Because you got the whole package going on. You just handed out, Eli passed out copies of the CD, and I opened it up, and I was like, wow, it's the whole package. I mean, there are graphics in there that just kind of go, ooh.
How long have you guys been working on this? Because I recall the last time we had you in studio, you said you were kind of working on it. So how long has this been germinating?
And that was back in the Salty South days.
Right, that's a great question. Yeah. So
I kept saying a year, but it's actually been
about two years.
Because a few of the singles we released were actually 2 years ago, so this has been a very long process. So
we really like to focus on the concept albums, and our last album was The Island of Light, so it was way too light and happy, and so we had to save these songs back, so some of these didn't make this cut, and the same thing going forward. We're already working on our next album, and it's all the bright stuff, because there's something about the songs of summer that just doesn't match with
the dark,
the Southern Gothic Tale. So I wrote a few of like the really happy beach songs that just definitely did not make this cut. Uh-huh. But to back up, it's been about 2 years, actually. Heat Lightning and Florida, the music videos, we did like a year or 2 years ago.
Mm. Well, so the new CD is A Southern Gothic Tale. Let us pretend like people did not meet you on our show a few years ago. And tell people that Steve said your real identities are Eli and Sandy.
So why the heck are you called Jack and Jen?
tell us that story.
We were talking to someone that was booking for us for a show the other day, and she was like, it's just confusing. And I was like, well, it's a band name. But it's also an alter ego. We prefer performing under a stage name. Because I just think there's a lot that comes into using your actual name on a stage, mm-hmm. and people project a lot of things onto you, especially if you use your real name. And I just didn't want any of that. He didn't want any of that. And I wanted freedom to be creative. And so we've created these mm-hmm. characters to be able to really explore some of the deeper themes of life in sort of a fantasy world.
But also, if you could share how you landed on Jack and Jen.
Oh, sure.
I love that story.
Yes. This is a great one. I'll take this one.
You go ahead. He tells it professionally these days.
You know, COVID-19, the year 2020 rolled around. Everybody was getting divorced. You know, it's just the thing we did. And we actually called this place the divorce capital of the world. And, I was drinking a little bit at the time, a little bit of, some Jack Daniels. And I met this girl, and I kept buying her beer. And she would take the beer and say thank you, and she would give it to some other person. And I went through every type of beer there is. I mean, IPAs to, lagers.
Yingling and
everything, yeah. And they were all passed off. So one day I said, okay, what is it? And she said, I drink gin. And I was like, all right, well, I drink Jack. And then our friends made up the name, really, just because do we have Eli and Sandy tonight, or is it Jack and Gin? Like, after a couple drinks, So Jack and Jen was kind of formed off of a time of recovery, self-reflection, and a little bit of wild times.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys were actually working, though, as working musicians when you met, right?
Separately, yes.
Separately.
We had solo, we both have solo albums, mm-hmm. and we'd been writing our whole life, and we teamed up, and we decided to take this world on. And I'm super happy to announce I'll be marrying this beautiful woman in 2 months.
We will be getting married.
Yeah. I am so happy.
I'm also happy.
Look,
I'm very happy she said yes.
I got goosebumps because I was so excited when he surprised you. And Sandy, I think you're very keen on everything going on in your world. Mm-hmm. But you were surprised
when he
popped up with,
yes.
Hey, will you marry me, right?
I was very surprised, actually. So we were just talking about our very dear friend, Lou Columbus.
Right.
And we were coming back from a gig, and Eli had decided, okay, this is the moment. He's going to do it. So he called Lou on the way from the beach.
Now, Lou's a photographer.
Lou is a photographer.
Wonderful photographer.
An incredible photographer. Very professional. We love him. He did Island of Light cover work. And so he calls Lou on the way, and he's like, listen, I'm going to pop the question. Can you just meet me at the Century Tree in Beck Avenue and just hide in the bushes or something? The man did. He was in the bushes. And so, like, Eli got on one knee and asked the question. And he's like, and by the way, Lou Columbus is in the bushes. And I looked over, and there he was. And he got the photos, and I was very grateful. It was very much a surprise.
Century Tree was symbolic because it really is a tree that's been there for a century. It's mm-hmm. withstood hurricanes and tropical storms, mm-hmm. and it still stands.
Yes.
It felt like the right place.
Indeed. Yeah. It was. It was perfect.
So how did you decide in 2 months, the height of summer?
That is our anniversary.
Oh.
Mm. Well,
Sandy looks at you like, oh, it is?
It's our anniversary.
September is summer, I guess. Yeah, September 12th is summer. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, so it's going to be in September.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Good. September 12th. We're very excited. Yes. I'm very excited.
Yes, I am very excited as well.
I'm getting giddy now.
This man is in love. Because, oh, my gosh. You post on Facebook, and mm-hmm. he's right there. Baby, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
It's like he's showing you the love all the time.
And
that's right. It's wonderful.
But see, Eli, you're doing the same thing that I did. You're marrying up.
There you go. Absolutely. Yes.
Now, Eli, you are not a native Floridian, right?
I'm a Georgia boy.
Georgia
boy. As you can read in Sandy's book, Fire Flurries.
I did. Yeah. I called him Georgia boy.
Right. Now, Sandy, you're local. Born and raised
yes.
here.
Yes, yeah. ma'am.
I just sure partied am. Spring break here, like my whole ride, college and everything.
So as a musician, your plan was to come here and just try
Absolutely.
To make music.
Yes. I graduated University of Georgia, which we'll be doing an artist showcasing in 2 months at.
Oh, good.
So very excited. But I was about to graduate, and there was a lady cutting my hair, and I think that was my last haircut. And she told me, if you don't move the day you graduate, you're never going to move. So I packed up. I said, I love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. I got to go. And I graduated, and I went straight to Panama City. And long story short, my truck broke down in Alabama, and I just grabbed this exact guitar and just started playing on the side of the road. And this guy handed me some lottery tickets, and he's like, I don't have any money, I just spent it all on these lottery tickets, hope you win, you know, can you play some AC/DC? And I was like, yeah. And I played every AC/DC song I knew, and I won. Like, it wasn't like a huge thing, but it was enough to fix my truck and then get back on the road to Panama City. And I was like, that's a wild story. But...
Well, this is movie material.
Yeah.
It is.
There's a song in that.
Right?
Yeah. Great.
I think you wrote one on your solo.
Yes, The Buskineer. It's about busking your way
sure
through
did.
Life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to buy me a bunch of lottery tickets to give out to people,
right?
Because that's a cool idea.
I had never even bought a lottery ticket my whole life.
This I did
was,
that for
you know,
Christmas
fresh out
one
of college,
year.
This guy hands me a couple lottery tickets, and... Wow. I was like, here we go. All right. I'm going to make it to Florida.
Full of stories.
But you're sitting there with that guitar. Why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back out of the break, we're going to ask you to use that guitar
Let's
and
do
whatever
it.
You want to do.
Yes,
All right,
sir.
So more coming up right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Jack and Jen in the studio with us, Eli and Sandy. But we're going to shut up, and what do you guys want to do?
Well, the song that brought us to lovely people was Death Roll. And it is the very first ever a Southern Gothic Tale song that we wrote. So we figured we'd start with that.
Good. Oh, my.
I get scared listening to that.
That was, it's just this version freaked me out even more than the first time I heard.
Oh, like, I love
whoa,
it.
She's going places there. When you perform that in bars, restaurants, do people just go, whoa.
Yes, absolutely.
What are we doing?
We had to start telling people that the song is about alligators. Yeah. Because when we just went in, just raw, just straight into it, there was a little bit of an intimidation factor, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think just saying it's about alligators really helps.
Yeah, it helps.
The ambiance for the tourists.
Yeah.
And then if they want to read more into it, they can.
Right. But I remember you said that you were inspired because that's what your grandma used to say. Don't go out back there because then gators will get you.
Absolutely. It's natural wisdom. And she gave me a lot of that and along with my mother. And it's just a lot of natural wisdom growing up in Florida. I often say I wish people would give classes before people come down to visit or move down because, you know, we have a lot of dangerous aspects about living in Florida. It's not like moving to a more serene state, sometimes.
Or an urban area.
Yeah, you know, it's not the same.
And,
and so I also kind of like to think I'm doing a service of education for the people out there.
You are. If you see a gator, you don't want to play with it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you'll be in the death roll.
Yeah, you don't want that. And, you know, don't go to the water at night or before sunrise.
Yes.
That's when they feed. It's very easy.
I want to see if somebody can run this over to Sandy, because that's a little something that every time I open my jewelry box, I see it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, you know what? This belongs with Sandy Marlisa,
the
gin of Jack and Jen, because we met you with Death Roll.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your very own sparkly gator to wear around your neck.
Oh, you should put it on right now.
And it's gold.
That's perfect. I tell you.
Thank you.
I'm not kidding. I've been in my jewelry box for over 20 years. And since I've met you guys, every time I look at it, I think, I got to give that to Sandy. Because
beautiful.
If anybody deserves a gator to wear around her neck, it's Sandy.
That's right.
Thank you. This is very special.
You're
to me.
So welcome.
That is beautiful. I can see it shining from
it's
over
beautiful.
Here.
It's sparkling. It Everybody is. Needs a little more sparkle That's in right. their life, right? Sandy, you preach that. Everybody needs a little bit more sparkle and glitter in their life.
I think so. You know, life's meant to be enjoyed, first and foremost. I think we have things that happen to us, and we don't get to choose those things. But most of the time, I think it's supposed to be enjoyed.
Yes,
you know, and you can, that's kind of what this album is about. I was just talking to Eli about this, actually. This album to me is about living through the darkness.
Absolutely.
Because I think a lot of people will go through dark times and then wait for the sun to come up. And that's valid, and the sun will come up. But I have found living through the darkness is actually so much more enjoyable and you get the best stories out of it and the best adventures if you're brave enough to live while there's darkness in your life. Mm. And I truly believe that's what this album's about. So thank you. This is very special to me.
Well, you're so welcome. Can I just say, speaking of living through dark times, I just went to your Facebook page, Jack and Jen, so I recommend our listeners go. They will also see that you lived through a bit of a dark moment outside of the college here. Because there's a picture of the police questioning Jack and Jen as they were trying to break into the building.
And that's why they go with the code names. Like, Eli's not getting arrested. Jack's getting arrested.
So if you're going to book me under Jack, not Eli Ingram, right?
He really did. He, just all of a sudden I look up and Eli's got two cop cars sitting right there. And I'm like, how does this happen?
There's nobody else in the parking lot but you guys.
They find me fast.
And the officer's like, okay, the man's got a guitar. We hope that's a guitar. Right,
right. There's a guitar in here.
By the way, the blatant plug light has started flashing. So let's talk a little bit about your website and where people should go. And so first of all, the address of the website is?
JackandJenMusic.com.
Jen like the drink. Jack and Jen Music.
Just remember Jack Daniels and gin and tonic.
You want to explain, you have just unveiled the new website. It is one of the best websites I have ever seen.
Thank
ever.
You.
It
wow.
is so creative. Cool.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to be so all Sandy Marley, so.
I'm so proud of it. That website has been years in the making. I have dreamed of being able to do something like that. A lot of people do not know. I worked in marketing for 15 years, and I got to work with some of the best people that I just sat at the feet of and just soaked up everything I could to use in my own business. And I just had this dream of a website that didn't feel like a website. Mm-hmm. It feels more like a world, especially for our music group. And I wanted to show all the different aspects of what we actually do and the services that we actually provide. So if you go to jackandjenmusic.com, you're going to see the Salty South, which is the world that all of our music lives in. And it's an interactive website. You can click on the actual map and it will take you to different places in our Salty South world. I write books. There's a bookshop there. We have our music shop where you'll find all of our CDs and all of our music. We have the blog, which we call the Jack and Jen Studio. And there's so much more. Our Salty South Media Company, which represents all the media work we've done. And, I'm really proud of it. So thank you for asking about that.
One of the many things that I love about it, that there are so many things on the website, and yet it is so easy to navigate.
Thank you. I was aiming for that.
You don't have to jump through a lot of hoops. You see a really cool world. You say, oh, let me check out this part of the world. You click on that, and there you go.
Yes. It's
wonderful.
So easy to just get lost in detail. With something like that. So it was really simple, and I was, thank you. I could gush.
I just put a link on our Facebook page under a picture of you guys just now performing, so folks can click and see what we're talking about, this really fun, friendly map that takes you through the life of Jack and Jen.
Yes.
But we locked the doors because the cops are outside. We'll take a break for news and be right back right here on WGN.
Put your hand on the radio, say amen, everybody.
Amen.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that track.
Yes.
Jack and Jen
in the studio with that. You want to explain a little bit about that track? That is one of my that is a track that I have to crank it up to the threshold of pain every time it comes on.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Definitely inspired from both of our Southern Baptist upbringings.
Absolutely.
I'm here with you.
Yeah, it just definitely from that energy.
Sounds like Sunday morning to me.
I I always kind of write songs that every so often I will write a song about where I'm at in my personal belief system. And that is one of those songs where it was the lyrics specifically are, this is what I actually think at this time. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it won't change. I'm not saying it can't evolve. But this is what I really think right now, lyrically. And what is something very special about this song is that Eli uses this the whammy bar.
That's right.
In it, but in a very usually not heard kind of way, because whammy bars typically go out of tune as soon as you hit the whammy. But you're hearing the whammy bar all the way through it. So we kind of poke fun
and
at
the cool thing with the studio is you can retune. You can do one take and
yeah,
then
just keep doing so it was just a really cool, it kind of feels like something's jumping from cloud to cloud musically, which I really ended up liking. It's one of those songs that has a lot of heritage in it, but it's also the updated idea of like thinking about your heritage, thinking about what you were taught, thinking what you were raised to believe, honoring that, but taking it into the future and saying what you think now. And I think those kinds of songs are really important. So yeah.
And one of the other things that I love about this, you need to watch the YouTube video and partly personal. You will see one of the local newscasters who is always on the news, and he's wearing a shirt, and he's very very upright, and he's dancing. I mean, he's boogieing into this. It is so cool.
Started with his foot, and then next thing you know, he's going wild.
He's moving.
Buried in it. Barry did not know this, but he had introduced us a few times on WJHG before he had ever personally met us, but some of the civic work that we've done here, he had been the newscaster that was like, well, here's Jack and Jen doing this again. Who are these guys?
Right.
And then we personally met him and did a couple segments with him, and he was just wonderful and just so genuinely enthusiastic, which is really nice.
Well, yeah, when somebody gets up and dances to your song, you know you got something going on,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Now, I'm looking at your new CD, A Southern Gothic Tale, and you have 16 cuts.
16.
Yes. That's a lot of music on one CD these days.
It is a lot.
It's not uncommon to get 8 or 10 cuts.
It is.
So last time we were here with Tom, it was what, a month ago, 2 months ago?
Not even that.
A month ago?
Yeah.
We had 10 songs completed.
Really?
So I told Tom, I said, all right, we got a month. Let's see if we get all 16.
And so that was your goal all along.
Yeah, I actually am breathing for the first time because I have been locked up just in studio mode, getting everything perfect.
Yeah, we really like, well, I don't know if Eli's as attached to 16 as I am, but I really like the number 16 because it's kind of like you can do an act one and an act two in the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a full hour almost, typically. Mm-hmm. 16 songs gives you about an hour. And I just love giving our fans and listeners that hour. I love giving value to the people who take time and listen to us. I never want to do anything halfway. If I'm going to do anything, it's going to be a full production. It's going to be a full story. And so that's just what feels good for me. And Eli...
And you're taking Eli along on that.
Here we
Eli
go. I said I have 10 done. We have a month.
Butt off on this.
The last month,
last month.
For sure.
He was just in studio mode the whole time.
And this girl is a Southern Gothic queen. She, in our voice memos on the phone, we have like so many songs that are, you know, we could piece for this album, for that album.
Yeah, from like years ago.
We love doing the concepts. And so there was three, after I had the 10 completed, there was three just sitting in my voice memos where I was like, I just got to get in the studio and crank these things because they're already sitting there as an acapella. Acapella, vocal, just full story.
Well, two of them were acapella.
Yeah.
I went in there and you put a beat down, which is like a stomp clap typically.
Stomp clap and a bass riff.
I sang the main vocal, acapella, and then I added the choirs behind it. And then I think you did a bass riff on, and then I did the percussion and all of that.
Now,
so,
do the two of you do all of the instrumentation?
We do, absolutely, all of it.
When we're live, I usually use a looper pedal. So I handle, like with my amp and the electric, I have like a bass effect, and then I'll have a rhythm effect, and then I'll have a crazy, trippy kind of lead effect going on.
Mm-hmm.
And very recently, I purchased a bass drum, and Sandy has become our drummer also. She does the bass drum, a tambourine, and a shaker at the same time while I'm doing the bass. and the rhythm and the lead. And we just did a show at a rodeo last weekend in Pike County, Georgia. And it was and the two of us.
It was like a full band
playing
sound.
An arena, and it was full band sounding, looping out of my amp, and her doing all these percussives. But,
so basically, you two are doing a Les Paul and Mary Ford.
Hey,
yeah,
well,
they did all.
Let me catch my breath.
He's like just fainted.
Well, thank you.
But that's true.
And we should mention, too, that if you look at the video, you will see some of that was recorded at Tom Hoot's Studio 812.
Yes. Studio 812.
Sure was.
We did the vocals.
Fun day.
Well, wait. There are not many musicians that walk out, though, with a pan. Do I see a skillet that you have?
Should we
with
do
you?
The skillet song? We weren't planning on it, but, I mean, there's a pan.
Well, just give us a little sound.
I'm going to say let's use that as the tease.
She has a skillet.
Let's take a break. And then we'll find out what Sandy has in that skillet.
What's she cooking up now?
Okay.
So we'll take a break. More coming up at WGN.
Are we doing that?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. So we're having more fun than people should.
They're not going to pay us. You know what? The boss is going to listen.
Don't tell the boss.
Yeah. So why pay them? They're having a good time.
Okay. Jack and Jen in the studio with us. And we left you teetering on the edge, wondering just what was going to happen with this pan.
Yes, because they walked in with a guitar, and there was a keyboard already here. And then I looked over there, and I thought, that's a skillet. That's odd.
There it is.
And Sandy, you said you've made many a meal in that skillet,
too. I have genuinely cooked for my family with the skillet.
But now, can your skillet be tuned?
No, I had to find the perfect skillet for this event.
We went through many skillets.
I did.
I mean, you went in the kitchen and just started skillet savvy.
My poor son, he walked into the room. And he just saw me in front of a microphone like this with the skillet. And he's like, okay.
And
he just
and this was one of the final of the 16 songs.
This one took you 20 mixes.
This one, yeah. This one was a beast for me.
This one took a long time.
In the studio side, it was...
So your game to debut it on the radio.
We're ready.
All right. This is Jack and Jim.
This is called Granny Annie.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're just clearing the studio. Jack and Jen have left the building.
Yes.
That was fun.
Along with their skillet and their guitar and a handful of cupcakes.
And we should say that keep watching this space. And it'll be a couple weeks, but there was some multi-camera video that was being shot in this studio. Mm-hmm. That is going to be then sent to our resident videographer, Julian, and he's going to work his magic, and we'll let you know when some videos from tonight's show are available. But now we're going to segue to the world of cyberspace, and oh boy, are there things to talk about tonight. So we bring in Dr. Patrick Crispin, who is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC. Yo, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you. Before we get down to the nitty-gritty of tech, tell us a little bit about your day trip yesterday. Did you go to San Diego yesterday?
We did. It was actually kind of funny. Christine was driving because I had a meeting that I had to be in. So I was on Zoom while we were on the 15 southbound giving presentations to the CIO for USC and all the CIOs for all the individual schools. Great presentation. Went down to San Diego. Joseph very much wanted to go to the San Diego Air and Space Museum. So we went and hung out at the Air and Space Museum. And then just outside of San Diego Airport, there is a parking garage, which is really right underneath where the planes land. Like, you feel like you could reach up and touch them. So, of course, we very much had to go watch the airplanes land there. And it was just basically a day trip down to San Diego and then come back and then went to bed.
When were you chasing the Goodyear blimp, though?
There was the Goodyear blimp. It was over in Coronado Island, which is obviously where the naval base is. And apparently there's a NASCAR race that's going on today and tomorrow on Coronado Island that actually goes not only on the island, but into the naval base there. And if you'll be able to watch it on TV, and it's one of the first times I know of that they're doing NASCAR on Coronado Island, which was kind of fun.
Or any island for that matter. Wow. Okay, so we've got so much to talk about. Are we going to start with
Absolutely.
Facebook? Because I started the show tonight complaining about Facebook, so let's just go there again, okay?
So we've been talking for a long time, and I know that you, Johnny, and Christine both are convinced that Facebook is listening to you. And yes. that when you're... It's so much worse than that. It's so much more complicated than that. But here's the thing. Facebook really has been tracking you, but not listening to your phone. And it's actually kind of an open secret. And we've known and talked about this for years. If we talked about cookies, we talked about browser fingerprints. Mm-hmm. Facebook used to have this setting called Your Activity Off Meta Technologies. And they buried it in their services. But if you found it, it was basically a way for you to tell Meta to stop tracking what you are doing on other websites and apps. In other words, not things that you're doing on Facebook or Instagram, but say you go to WGN Radio or you mm-hmm. go to Northwestern Amazon. University or Amazon or wherever. Mm-hmm. Meta and other sites are tracking you on those sites as well. Now, there was a way for you to turn that off. However, they're changing that a little bit. The old setting is actually going away. They're actually renaming it and changing it. And it's now going to be called Activity from Other Businesses. So if you are a Facebook user, everybody is, and if you're an Instagram user, many of you are, Facebook is really collecting information, not just from what you do on Facebook, from other apps, websites, other places that you are visiting on the internet, but only if those businesses share that data with Meta. So that's how Meta knows when you go someplace else and you're looking at these really neat shoes and you go mm-hmm. back to Meta and Meta says, hey, I've got these really cool shoes that you could look at. It's because it's tracking you as you're going out to other websites and other businesses. So right. you will have the ability to turn that off. If you're concerned Facebook.
Patrick,
are you there?
Hold your thought.
Sure.
Hold your thought because we got a
We're getting a little bit of dropout on you.
Yeah, a little
for
glitch
some
there. We're losing every other word for you. Let's get. Don't move wherever you are right now. Don't move.
Okay.
So you were.
Let
saying,
me try. I can. Let's see if this is working. If not, I'll reconnect. If you're concerned about your privacy, open up Facebook on your web browser, click on Settings, Privacy, and then Settings again. In your account center, and we're going to put this all in the show notes. You don't have to write it down. You can choose to turn off the activity from other businesses. You can actually tell Meta, hey, I don't want you tracking me when I'm going out on the internet. I only want you to know about what I'm doing when I'm on your site. However, even if you turn this off, Meta still could get information about you from other sites if they send it back to Meta. So you're not completely right. anonymous online, but you can kind of, you can turn that off. This is actually a really good idea. I'm going to put it in the show notes. Please, please, please check that setting and really just turn off the ability for Meta to track you when you're on other websites. It's just an extra level of protection to keep yourself private.
I'm curious, though, are they going to punish me if I turn
No.
that off? Is there some way where my service is going to change because I'm not allowing them to get this information?
Actually, what will happen is you'll get fewer targeted ads. In other words, the ads that you get from Meta are going to be more generic and less specific. So they're not going to know that, oh, Johnny likes this purple shoe. And when you go back in, they're going right. to say, hey, we've got shoes for you, not this specific purple shoe that you were looking at someplace else.
Okay. But you know what I meant when I said, are they going to punish me? Because I thought,
no, they're not going to punish you.
Why would they want? Because I was thinking, why are they going to give me the option of turning it off? Because this sounds too good to be true. So I'm going to be doing that. And as you said, for our listeners to go, wait, this is something that I can do that can improve my ability to go on my social media sites and not feel like they're listening to everything that I'm doing. Yes, this is something you can do, but you don't have to write it down now. It's going to be in the show notes.
But this really does explain why I have noticed with increasing regularity, I want to say over the past 2 months, that I would be, maybe I'm looking at a Gibson guitar website or something, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I come back to Facebook and, well, here's some Gibson guitars yeah. you might want to look at. And
it gets even scarier.
All the time, but it seems like it was getting worse and worse over the past couple months.
They're tracking you.
How does it get scarier?
They're tracking you based on who you're hanging out with in the real world. So if you go out and have dinner with Gary and Sue, and Gary and Sue are looking for things, you're going to start seeing things that they were looking at on the idea that you might be talking about that. This is how nefarious. So it's not tracking your microphone on your. It's tracking. So much more than that. The tracking that is available right now, it's not just Meta, it's all the websites. You are not hidden.
let me hold you on this for a second. So they are okay, we go out to dinner with Gary and Sue.
Yep.
Does this mean that the audio that our phone is picking up from our conversations?
No audio.
Okay. Yeah. Then what?
It's basically Gary and Sue have been browsing the web, looking at different things, and they have sort of browser fingerprints that have said, okay, I've got these two people. I don't know if it's Gary and Sue, but I know it's these two people. One person is interested in radio. The other person is interested in public speaking. I'm going to put this information together. Oh, wait a minute. For about an hour or two, you guys were hanging out with these people at the same time. I see from the geolocation from the Wi-Fi or from the cellular network that you guys were in the same location. Therefore, you guys are probably friends, and therefore you're probably talking and sharing information. It is so much more than just listening to your microphone. They're not listening to your microphone. It's worse than that.
So they're picking up the fact that the four of us are in a proximity. They're getting this information from the Wi-Fi because we're close to them on Wi-Fi, and that's how they're getting it from Wi-Fi.
And you might have something running on your phone, or you guys are using Facebook or Instagram at the same time, and they kind of say, yeah. "Oh, you guys are on the same access point, so therefore you guys are together." Therefore. It is so much. So it's not your microphone. You are being tracked at a level you.
Nefarious is the perfect word. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now you did explain to us, and it will be in the show notes on a browser going to Facebook, how you can choose to limit the amount of information that's going to come back at you. I have a question that Deanna, who's one of listener, says, how do we do this on the Facebook app? Is it similar that we on the Facebook app on our phone, for example?
It is. And it basically, you click on your profile picture. I think it's also still on top right. And I will also put that in the show notes.
Okay, great. All right, we're going to take a break. And thank you, Deanna, for asking that question, because that was exactly what I wanted to know, because during the break, I wanted to take that action. So coming right back with Dr. Patrick Crispin, talking tech, and our number is 312-981-7200 if you want to sneak something in here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. He is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC. And I'm waving the partly personal flag. So a little earlier this week, I get a message from Ashley, who is the basically the producer czar at WGN Radio. And Ashley says, did you just start an Instagram account? Because I got this message from you from an Instagram account, but the Instagram account was only started about 3 hours ago. And I said, Ashley, check your Instagram account. You are following me on Instagram as you have been for about the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And she said, oops, you're right.
And at the same time you got that, I was getting messages from my friends saying, have you started a new Facebook page? And they were sending me screenshots of my Facebook page.
And when I checked the Instagram account, it was WGNHim1. And when you checked the Facebook account,
it was JohnnyPutman1. But again, as I said to one of my friends, can't you see I only have 5 friends? You know that that's not me, right, Patrick?
Yeah, and this is an example of something called social media spoofing. And unfortunately, it happens a lot. It's where somebody pretends to be you. And so same profile picture, because again, to get a profile picture, you just right-click, save it, as we learned with NFTs. It's the same name, but the username is usually just a little different. So it might be Steve King 1 or Johnny Putman 1, or it might take the A in Johnny, in Patrick, and say P at sign, and change the I to a 1. How can you tell if a social media account that you're dealing with is fake? Well, if it's somebody that you're already following, they're not going to contact you again and say, hey, I have a new account. It's almost always a new account. It's always a new account with almost no history. So they don't have a lot of posts, or if they do, they just copy and posted from the victim that they were taken. And they tend to have a lot of people that they follow, but very few followers. I bet if you were to talk to somebody who was telling you this, like, hey, I've got this, I noticed your profile and you only are following or only have 5 followers. What's going on? That doesn't sound like Steve or Johnny. They're really popular. Just basically you're going to see near identical usernames, near identical handles, but usually with a number, an underscore, maybe some sort of letter. Instagram is actually pretty good about this. And if you encounter a brand new account on Instagram, Instagram kind of flags it and says, this is a new account. And as you kind of said to your friend, it's like, I don't have a new account. You know, I don't have a new account. So it's gone. What usually happens is that people will go and set up these accounts, spam everybody they can with a generic message, something like, hey, how you doing? Or something
like
that. Or,
that's what
I have a new account. And the idea is to get that person to then interact with them, eventually to go and say, hey, I was talking to Patrick and he told me that you need to install this on your computer. Hey, there's a problem with my car. Can you send me some money? Or it's always fake. It's always scam. So they're going to give you some sort of scripted line to get you on the hook and basically to kind of take it. How can you, if you get spoofed, how can you tell and what can you do? Well, chances are your really good friends are going to tell you beforehand because they're going to get contacted by the spoofer and say, hey, something's wrong. Are you sure? You need to report this spoofer site to the Instagram, to Facebook, to X or whoever immediately, and you have to do it yourself. It turns out that some sites, Instagram's one of them, only really respond to reports sent by the person who's being impersonated. You can report it if it's not your account, but it's really one of those things where they tend to pay more attention to the victim of this than the friends of the victim.
So what is the easiest way to report it? For example, if I am on my Instagram page, but I am looking at this message, what do I grab?
It depends on the social
new account
You would go into the new account, and depending on if it's Instagram or Facebook or whatever, there's a way for you to click on sort of the 3 buttons, the 3 little dots, and report this account. And you can sit there and say, I'm reporting this because it is spoofing me. It is taking my information and escalate it. It's going to go and an AI is going to look at it. It's probably not going to be human and you might have to wait a little bit, but you can report it by going into that person's account. You don't want to interact with that person. You just basically want to go and report it using the tool in the social media site for that.
Okay. I understand that there's some things that we are not supposed to do. And again, we're talking tech. If you're glazing over on all of this, if this has never happened to you, I bet you it will eventually, yep. But maybe it hasn't happened to you yet. We're going to continue with Dr. Patrick Crispin talking tech on the other side of the news. So stay with us right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yeah, I love to hear those old standards. They just don't write them like that
Hello?
Anymore.
Testing. Oh, can I turn my headphones back on? Thank you.
We are talking about the world of cyberspace, talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And we were just talking about spoofing and spoofing your social media accounts.
Yes. And Patrick, I think we want to put emphasis on the things that we're not to do. And you just touched on this. We're not to give up information, right?
Don't give up information. Do not go and try to yell at the person who's spoofing you.
Right.
Really, what you should do is go onto your real account and say, hey, somebody is trying to pretend they're me. They're not me. Just and let your friends know, hey, ignore that person so that they're not falling victims to that. The other thing is,
right.
You don't have to worry about this. I know Johnny and I were talking about this. Some people recommended that she go and change her password or turn on two-factor authentication. You don't need to do that because that's not what's happening. Somebody is not hacking your account. They're just pretending to be you. They created a brand new account. Still, making sure you have a strong password and two-factor authentication turned on is a good idea. So it's not a hack. It's just a spoof, and you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
If you are browsing the Internet – oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
If you're browsing the Internet and you find an account that has been spoofed that – and you know this is somebody just spoofing an account – if you can, call or text the person who's the victim here, who's being impersonated. Do not reply to the fake account and say, hey, I know you're faking, because they're going to come after you and target you next. You just need to say, nope, I know this is wrong. I'm going to talk to the real person and let them know through some other mechanism, hey, you need to check this out. I do recommend screenshotting the fake account. The reason why is if that person deletes the account, you want to have some record that there was some sort of bad stuff going on. And then the other thing is reporting it helps, but not the way you think it does. You do need to report it, but the person who's the victim here, the person who's being impersonated, that person's word is so much more important to Instagram, to Facebook, and to the other social media sites. So you need to have the person who has been impersonated contact Instagram or Facebook and announce it. By the way, I put in how to do it both on the web browser and in your mobile apps in the show notes, which will be posted shortly.
Two really important things. One, the person being impersonated needs to report this. Two, do not interact with the impersonator.
No, it's a bad guy. You don't want to deal with the bad guy. I know that you're tough. I know you can beat them up. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Do not, under any circumstances, send the bad guy money or codes or don't go and get Google gift cards or Apple cards or whatever. Don't send them personal information. They're going to send you the most convincing stories. Oh, my dog is dying and the IRS is at my door. No. Don't click on any links that they send you, and you do not want to engage with them at all. Don't try to out them and try to figure out who they are. It's just not worth it. Not a game you want to play.
And let me add, here's the other wrinkle. So the morning that this happened to me and I put on my Facebook page, please, friends, be aware that I've not opened up a new Facebook page, blah, blah, blah. Immediately, I was slammed with what I assume are fake people saying, you've got to contact Patrick Crispin.
Yes.
He's going to get you out of this fine. He really helped me. The next one was Jim Smith. The next one was Patty Sue. And I was like, then I was busy for the next hour deleting these people, making them go away, because I thought, no, you trolls, go away.
And there are a lot of people who will then try to make you become a victim again by saying, oh, you need to talk to this person and he can help you. And you're going to contact that person and the person is going to install spyware and malware on your computer or ask you for your credit card information. No. Do not trust anybody who's contacting you through social media saying they can help you deal with this. And particularly if you've been scammed, you announce, hey, I've been scammed. The number of people are going to say, hey, I know how you can get your money back. All you have to do is send me some money. It's like, no, don't do that. Don't fall for that.
Well, it was a waste of time, and I was so angry. So what the next thing I do was I contacted Patrick, and I said, am I doing the right thing? Because, well, anyway, thankfully it doesn't happen a lot. It just so happened that somebody decided that it would be fun to do this to us, but we're all good. The Addison Police Department sent out a press release, and I guess the Naperville Police Department did the same thing. And, boy, it got our attention because it's kind of something we've talked about in the past, isn't it, Patrick?
This is something we started talking about in March of last year. There is a CAPTCHA, and we've all seen those before. It's like, click on all the pictures that are of bicycles or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's a completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart. That's what CAPTCHA stands for. Attackers have been, and this has been going on for a while, compromising legitimate, well-known websites. Sometimes they break into the administrator's panel. Sometimes they put malicious ads up or phishing emails or fake software downloads. And once they are in, they install this fake JavaScript that replaces the page that you would normally visit with a fake your browser is broken message or a fake CAPTCHA prompt. And when you land on one of those, what it's going to tell you is, okay, what I need you to do to prove that you're human is press Windows key and the letter R, and then press Control V, and then press Enter. Or if you're on your Mac, it's going to say open Spotlight, type terminal, and paste this command and hit Enter. Both of those infect your computer with malware. What you're doing when you go Windows R is you are running a program. Basically, you're copying and pasting. That Control V is a paste. And you're copying something that bypasses your antivirus, bypasses your anti-malware, connects directly to the bad guy's website, downloads a script, runs it on your computer, and infects your computer. They are literally giving you instructions on how to infect your computer. And it's downloading things outside of your web browser, outside of your antivirus. And it's been used to impersonate Google Chrome, Facebook, PDF Simply, ReCAPTCHA. And it's something called ClickFix. It's what we've been calling in the social engineering world. It's usually password stealing malware that gets installed on your computer if you do it. And then it then steals all your saved logins, your crypto wallets, your authentication cookies. A real CAPTCHA never, ever, ever will ask you to run something to Windows Run Box or to open up Max Terminal. If you see that, you know it's fake. If it tells you, if you go to a website and says, your browser is broken, close it. Get out of there. Mm-hmm. It's not broken. It's somebody trying to get you to break your computer.
To break it. Yeah.
Now, if you report, if you find this, if you see this pop up where you get a website and it's giving you this fake CAPTCHA message, in other words, not a CAPTCHA, those are legit, but ones that are asking you to infect your computer, you can go to reportfraud.ftc.gov and report them. And hopefully we can lock these guys up. But this has been going around for a couple years now. And boy, it's still getting out. And fortunately, you know, the police are now paying attention to this. So hats off to Addison and Naperville for making this a big story again.
Because it ended up on Facebook, and it really would get your attention because it came up on Facebook as an alert.
Right.
You know, and so you go, whoa, what's going on? A scam alert. And one of the things they do say, too, in the Addison press release that they sent out is if you interact with one, if you make the mistake of, you know, you're busy and you slip and you click on something, they're suggesting that you immediately disconnect from the Internet.
Yeah.
Is that what you would suggest?
I would recommend disconnecting from the Internet. And I was thinking about I was going to put in the show notes how to get rid of this, But the reality is, it's kind of like if you blow a hole in the wall of your house, you could technically, if you had the ability, fix that. You got to call a carpenter. And if you do this, yeah, you might have the ability and I might be able to give you the instructions. You got to get a professional to fix your computer. It's that bad.
Wow.
But important to remember that a legitimate CAPTCHA site will only say, check this, that you're a human, and then, okay, tell me how many bicycles you see in this picture. It will never, ever, ever tell you to run any programs or anything else.
That's right. Absolutely.
This is really, really
it's a scary
spooky,
world.
Though, because how many times you're doing your banking or you're shopping online or something and it pops up and says, you know, prove that you're a human and you mm-hmm. get that little click box. And after you do that, then you get those. And I'm sorry, but it seems like I have to go through three sets of CAPTCHA pictures.
Oh, yes. Well,
that's becoming the norm.
I'm like, really? I looked for every crosswalk and every picture.
And sometimes it'll say, even after you've checked all the crosswalks, yeah. More
One
will
more
come
time.
Up and they'll say, okay, only click when you have checked all of them, when you don't see any more.
Yeah. So they wear
or
you
Or drag
down.
This
now
puzzle piece.
Yeah.
You're frustrated. You just want to get back to business. And so something pops up and says, click on this or move this or add this.
Yeah.
And it would be really simple to fall down that hole. And it's really, really scary what it can do to you. And as you said, Patrick, then you need a professional to take care of
it. You need a professional to fix this one.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're talking tech. Again, everything we're talking about will be in the show notes. Thanks to Dr. Patrick Crispin. We got a few more minutes with him. We'll take a break and come right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin. So, again, another one from the partly personal file. If you're a regular listener, you know that on our home computers, we have a ton of browsers. I'm a real believer in give me options. So there's Vivaldi and Firefox and Opera and blah, 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 and Microsoft Edge. I don't use Microsoft Edge a lot, but every now and then I'll say, okay, let me just see what this is doing today. About a week or so ago, clicked on Microsoft Edge, and it looks like it's going to fire up and get like a white screen, and all of a sudden it goes away. Microsoft Edge does not want to come up. Try it again. Same thing. Reboot the computer. Try it again. Same thing. This is the point at which I sent an email to Patrick and said,
help! Why is it doing that?
Well, and actually, you did what I would normally do. If an app doesn't work, the first thing I do is just reboot the computer. That normally takes care of it. If that doesn't happen, it doesn't fix it. I then kind of go and see, hey, is this program hung? I mean, is it actually kind of just not closed completely? So you can actually open up the task manager. There's also a way for you to force quit something in a Mac. I'll put those in the show notes. The next thing you could do is you could actually try to repair the tool. This is not something that's built into the Apple ecosystem, but if you have a Windows machine, Windows actually has a built-in repair feature, and not a lot of people know about this. If you go to Start, Settings, Apps, and then Installed Apps, you find the app that's not working for you, click on the three dots next to it, and then you're going to see a modify or repair option. Choose repair. Now, not all apps do this, but if it's there, that's usually magic. And it usually just says, oh, okay, your application isn't working. Let me kind of repair it for you. And I think that's actually what fixed it for you, Steve, right? I mean, just going
actually,
and doing a repair.
What happened? I followed your instructions, but it was interesting. When I clicked on repair, it didn't say, oh, I'm going to repair this. It said, we're going to download a new version.
Okay. Ah. That makes sense.
It did, and that fixed it.
Yeah.
Right. And then actually, one other thing you can do, there is another way to do it before you go and download if you want to. There is a way for you to reset the app. Some apps, and this is really kind of hidden, but some apps, especially if you get it from the Microsoft Store, have a reset option. How is that different than repair? Repair just says, okay, I'm going to keep all your settings the way you want, but I'll go and kind of get the program working. And the reset is, I'm going to take you back to square one and just pretend you've never used this. And all the customizations you made get taken care of. The other thing you could do is actually then you can reinstall or install something on top of itself, which is what Steve, and turns out, did. He just basically downloaded the version of Edge, a new version of Edge, and installed it on top of itself. It kept his bookmarks. It kept all the settings. And you just install an app on top of itself. I actually had to do that with my Mac with Firefox a couple months ago, where it just didn't work. I couldn't figure out what was going on. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go get another version of Firefox, and it worked.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Macs, you were talking about on Android how you do this. Can you do the same thing on a Mac to repair?
The Mac doesn't it's not exactly the repair thing. Is a lot more complicated. You actually have to go in to delete the app's preferences folder. Oh. And unless you know what I'm talking about, don't do it.
Yeah,
it's just not worth
it. So it's a little bit easier if you end up
on a Windows,
that's not performing for you on a Windows machine. Okay. Well, that's interesting. You know what? If I could hold you right there, because the listener said at the top of our show, could you ask Patrick what he knows about Apple's prices increasing? And I said specifically, and he didn't respond, is there something in Apple world about prices increasing?
Yeah, and we've been talking about this. We started talking about this at the beginning of the year, that because of the RAM price increases, hardware is increasing, and Apple announced that they are not immune, and you're going to start seeing price increases on Apple products, I think, already. And hopefully they'll come down when we have more memory, but just be prepared. The prices that we used to have a month ago are not around anymore. So if you've been postponing getting technology, you shouldn't have postponed. But now is always the best time to get new technology, because it's going to be more expensive in the future.
I now remember you saying, if you're in the market for new technology, don't wait till the middle of summer.
Don't wait.
Because you're going to be if you do.
So this is kind of like the conversation we've had with Tom Appel about synthetic oil. If it's synthetic oil or RAM, get them now.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Okay, where else should we go? You have an update
actually,
on Claude?
Yeah, and this is a big story. We've been talking about this for a while. Department of Defense, we know them as the Department of War, formerly designated Anthropic, who makes the Claude AI, a supply chain risk. And this was actually in response to Anthropic telling the Department of Defense that Claude couldn't be used for mass surveillance of Americans and couldn't be used to control fully autonomous lethal weapons. So that happened. We also talked, and you might have to remember, this is me doing one of my segments. Remember how we used to talk? So it's another one of my remember stories. I do those a lot. Sorry about that. But the stories keep coming back up. Anthropic released a new model in April called Mythos. And it had taught itself how to find security holes. And Anthropic, instead of releasing it to the world, said, okay, this is really dangerous. Let me talk to all the companies who make software and give them a copy of this so they can sort of patch the holes. On June 9th, Anthropic released a version of Mythos called Claude Fable 5. This was available to everybody, but it had a lot of guardrails in it. So yes, it was powerful, but it wasn't nearly as dangerous as the full Mythos, which so it could like teach itself to hack and do some things like that. So June 9th, Anthropic releases Mythos. On June 12th, the United States government said, you know what? We're going to order you to shut this down and actually suspend access to Fable 5 to any foreign national anywhere in the world, inside the United States, outside the United States, or even if they're an employee of Anthropic. you have to turn this off. They can't use it. Anthropic was given about 90 minutes to do this. And there was no way for Anthropic to say, okay, who are foreign nationals and who aren't? They just had to turn it off for everybody. The official reason that the government said this was that there was a jailbreak. The government claimed that it had basically learned of a technique to bypass the safeguards that Fable 5 had in it. The jailbreak basically was somebody told Fable, hey, fix this code. And that, I'm not sure it's a jailbreak, that sort of Mythos doing what it's supposed to do. But here's the scary part. The government has basically forced a tech company to pull its product offline in a single afternoon, no court order, and this couldn't have come at a worse time for Anthropic, because they're getting ready for their IPO just following what happened with SpaceX. This is a big issue. So Anthropic said no to killer robots, no to domestic surveillance. The government put them on as a national security threat. Anthropic released a nerfed version of Mythos. The government said, nope, you got to shut that down. I don't think this is the last we're going to hear about this. By the way, I put it in the show notes, but I did notice that the irony is that the name of Anthropic's model, which is Fable, is actually a short, fictitious story designed to teach a moral lesson, which is pretty ironic to name it Fable. Yeah. And it was up for 3 days. And well, I guess we learned some lessons. So I put a link to where you can find more information in the show notes.
It's a very scary story, too.
Gosh. Absolutely.
People are saying, oh, wow, there's so many things coming at me. That often happens when we're talking tech, and it happens that this has just been a busy couple of weeks.
And again, don't worry about if you are glazed over and if you were trying to write all this down, don't worry. All of Patrick's tech notes will appear magically on our blog in about a day or so.
Yes, and thanks a million for everything that you put together for us. I'm a little more freaked out, but again, knowledge is good, right, Patrick? We need to
knowledge is power. It's scary, but yes, it's power.
Thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Patrick. More coming up. We got a break for news. Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
There are laws against this. And you are playing this because you know I hate this song.
Now just listen to the wonderful lyrics.
No. He's 17. She's 31. No.
That's Bobby Goldsboro in Summer, the first time.
Icky.
Because now... Oh, you...
Icky. Becca, Icky, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Icky. Right?
This is one of those songs that there is definitely a generation gap when it comes to appreciating this song.
No.
And I have to say, one of our longtime WGN radio personalities.
And your friend, not mine.
Max Armstrong.
Your friend, not mine.
He sent me a message earlier this week, and he said, you know, Sunday is the first day of summer.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll pay.
And it might be a perfect time to play Bobby Goldsboro, Summer, the first time.
I love the way you just slip that in there, and I heard the first notes of the piano. I'm like, no.
It's a beautiful song.
No, it's not. It's against the law.
It's a coming-of-age song.
Ick. Becca, are you familiar with Dina Carter's Strawberry Wine?
I can't say that I am.
Okay, it's kind of the flip side.
Yeah, it's the
girl version. The other, it's also kind of... And Deanna Carter actually lives around here, around Panama City, Panama City Beach.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah, so, Deanna, if you're listening, it's an icky song.
No, it's not.
It's got a good beat, but it's kind of...
That'd be a great twin spin.
I can take the blame on this end. I did press play.
Thank you, Jonathan. And did you also find, your skin crawling when you realized where it was going? You can admit it.
There was some goosebumps. Yeah. I was like, this may be skirting a line.
And that was a legitimate hit record for Bobby Goldsboro.
And what is it, like 40 years old now?
Something like that, because I think that was...
oh, my gosh. In Australia, it was number 7. It was in the top 10 in Canada, mm-hmm. Ireland, Netherlands, the UK. In the U.S., it was number 18, so it was top 20. And it resurfaces. And it's interesting. No one has ever redone the song. You know why? Because there are laws against that.
No, because when you've done a perfect record.
Oh, wait.
Know.
Second thought, I just looked down at my History of Summer the First Time by Bobby Goldsboro.
Yeah.
And Millie Jackson recorded a cover.
Millie Jackson?
In 1974. What was she thinking? What was she? She sung from the female perspective with only a few adjustments made to the lyrics.
Oh, we may have We may have to hear that.
No. We don't need to hear that.
Jonathan, hear that.
No, Jonathan. If you
I'll
ever
see what I can drum up.
Have any of the treats that I make and bring to the station, you will not look up Millie Jackson in Summer the First Time.
That's Millie Jackson in Summer the First Time.
No. And it is the first day of summer. We're officially there.
Yeah.
Even though it's felt like that for the past month.
It's been, since we got down here, the heat index just about every day has been about 110.
But at least it's humid.
Yeah, there's that.
I looked at the picture you took of us with our guest tonight, and I said, what's going on with my hair? And then I realized...
Well, you really zoomed in on it.
Well, yeah, because I have like a little antennae. And the humidity,
mm-hmm.
and I'm patting my hair down now. I'm licking my hand and patting it down. But as we say, at least it's humid, right?
Yes.
Unlike in Arizona where they used to say, I don't think it applies anymore, but at least it's a dry heat when it would be like 120.
I don't think that does apply anymore in Arizona. I don't think it has applied for about the past 10 years.
Doesn't it have something to do with the fact that they started planting grass and watering their grass?
Exactly.
They wanted lawns,
yep.
And by doing that, then that caused the humidity. I'm probably oversimplifying something that's very scientific, but something happened. It went from being, it's 120, but at least it's a dry heat. You won't feel as bad.
It's the same kind of weird disconnect, only I think significantly different temperatures, as when we were in Palm Springs.
Mm.
I could not live in Palm Springs because you have this, basically it's a desert.
Mm.
That back in the day when Bob Hope and Frank Sinatra were hanging out there, they said, let's plant grass. Let's trees and things.
But every place we went, though, people's lawns were sand and rocks.
Literally, sand and rocks.
And boy, did it feel hot. It was like a cartoon where you can see heat coming up from the ground. You know, you see heat waves coming up from the ground, and you're walking, and you're going, well, I could die if I had to stand out here. It wouldn't take long.
Right. And I'd rather not.
I'd rather not.
So we didn't.
No. We found a restaurant and went and drank Bloody Marys and cooled off. Yeah.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, the Winstons and Color Him Father.
That's a good one.
Father's Day.
Yep.
First day of summer and Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's really kind of rare that it happens on the same day.
I think Dad should have a day that is a holiday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Best advice your dad ever gave you?
Ooh. Best advice my dad ever gave me.
Becca, you think about that too.
I don't know that it was by anything he outwardly said, but I think it was by the example he gave.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about anybody else. Just be the best you can be.
Well, that's good advice.
And that's what I took from him.
Yeah, my dad kind of gave me that advice because I had gone to apply for a job, and it was my first job in radio, and the general manager said to me, I don't need to listen to your tape. They told me I have to hire a girl. And I wanted the job, and I said, oh, okay, well, thank you. And he said, you'll start on Thursday, and that was on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home, and when I was telling my folks that story, in fact, my dad was in the hospital. He'd had a massive heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my dad the story, and I got a little emotional about it. And he said, wait, you just go in there and you prove to them that you're more than, quote, just a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so within a year, I was one of the bosses. So yeah. I did what Dad told me to do.
And you were working on two different radio stations.
Two different radio stations.
Programmer.
Six days a week, yeah. So I took Dad's advice to heart. And, yeah, prove to them that you're more than just a girl.
One of the things that I always think of with my dad was he had such a wonderful sense of humor. I've told this story before, but mm-hmm. it's Father's Day. I'm going to tell it again. As a mini kid, occasionally I would be able to go with my dad, along with working for the steel mill on the south side of Chicago. He also had his own television radio repair business. On the weekend, he would have to go to this, it was before the days of Radio Shack, it was just Allied stores. He'd have to go to get tubes and other things. I was really, really, really into cowboys. So I would go in with my dad dressed as a cowboy. I remember this one weekend we went there, I'm dressed as a cowboy, feeling all Hopalong Cassidy-ish, walk in the store, and the guy behind the counter and looks at me, he says, wouldn't a real cowboy have a gun? Okay. Next week, cowboy outfit.
You went back.
Well, my dad had to go there every week. So next week, I'm with my dad, go back in, and I have holsters. Okay. Cowboy outfit, holsters, walking in. Wouldn't a real cowboy be riding on a horse?
Now, that's mean.
I swear this is absolutely true. The following week, I'm with my dad going to the store. As we're walking up to the store, there is a guy who's taking pictures of kids on a pony. I don't know what my dad said to him or how much he bribed him, but we go into the store. My dad is pulling the reins. I am riding on the horse going into the store. We go up to the counter, and the guy says, okay, you got me. I give up.
You're a cowboy.
It was just one of the best gotcha moments.
It truly is. I mean, even the story. And probably the guy with the pony was charging a quarter for kids to get on the pony to have their picture taken.
And you've seen it. I still have a picture of me on that pony.
I'm going to put that picture up tonight.
Okay.
It's a great black and white picture of you just grinning from ear to ear.
Well, yeah.
You got the best posture, too, because you're riding a pony with your holster, which your grandmother made out of a piece of black material that you tied around your waist.
Because we didn't have a whole lot of money.
That you could put your gun in there. All right, Becca, best advice Dad ever gave you?
Got two because they kind of go hand in hand.
Okay.
He did emphasize like the importance of like safety and stuff a lot growing up and just being resourceful. So the two pieces of advice I got from him were that I'm gonna say are measure twice, cut once. And when I finally started learning how to drive was drive like everybody else is trying to kill you.
Yeah, oh boy, it's true.
So drive defensively.
Yes. Yes. It a lot of think before you do and be intentional with your choices.
So, now, are you the oldest?
I am. I'm the oldest of four.
Okay. So you have a sister and two brothers?
I do. Yes.
Wow. So he still has kids at home since you have a 25th birthday coming up.
I do. Right after our country's 250th.
So yes. The next day.
So I'm like how that lined up.
It's your 25th, which is a big birthday, too.
Yeah. Quarter of a century.
We have to ask your dad, too, if he's having a problem with the fact that he's going to have a 25-year-old because you're an adult. I mean, you're a full-blown adult.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. The brain's settled, so this is what we got.
Dad, it might get better than this, but right now, this is what we got.
This is what we're working with.
Listeners said, I thought Steve's dad worked at the Ford plant on the south side.
No. He worked at U.S. Steel, at Southwork Steel Mill on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Jonathan, anything come to mind that your dad gave you as a piece of advice when you were growing up?
I can keep it short and sweet. Something along the lines of, put your shoes on, we're going to the movies. He's a big film buff. He loved to go to the movies, so a lot of trips to the Arcata in St. Charles.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Wow.
The Arcata is a wonderful theater. We've hosted concerts there. It's a great place.
Yeah. And in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s, when I was going to those shows with my father, that was like the cheap theater. They would have like the later run movies that were like $1.50 for a ticket. So like 6 or 7 months after the movie came out, like in a big release, the Arcata would get it and it would be like a discount. So we'd hit the comic book store across the street and then go to the movies.
Oh, your dad.
Hey, I'm there.
Yeah.
Comics and movies. Yep.
She's thinking, wait a minute. That's like my dad. I need that dad.
Great advice.
Yep. A listener's pointing out that actually the first of summer is at 4:24 a.m. Eastern time. Well, I won't be here at 3:24 Central time, so it's summer. It's summer. Mm-hmm. But precisely the solstice will occur at that time. We'll probably still be awake because we're going to go home and have a hamburger. So we're going to celebrate.
That's working for me.
The first of summer with that.
And we're both starting to salivate over those hamburgers because the crackers and cheese that you thought you'd packed
are on the kitchen table. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What did you eat today?
Wendy's. I had Wendy's.
You had Wendy's?
Yeah.
We had a bowl of oatmeal at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Oatmeal and bacon. Ah.
I am really hungry now.
Yeah, understandably so.
Because oatmeal only goes so far.
Right, yeah.
And to be honest with you, when I'm eating it, I'm kind of forcing it. I'm like, it's not my favorite food, so... It's good for you. You get a little fiber.
I like oatmeal.
I do it for
especially
you.
With bacon.
I do it for you.
With bacon.
With bacon.
Explain that one.
Anything with bacon.
Oh,
yes, anything, right. anything with bacon.
It's bacon and fill in the blanks.
Is it just any kind of bacon? Are you doing maple bacon with
maple
your
Maple bacon.
Maple bacon is the best.
Oh, my gosh. Because then the house smells. When we get home, we're going to open the door, and the house is going to smell like maple bacon.
Okay.
And I may just go lick the stove. I may. I'm that hungry. And don't you hate it when you get in the car, and you're so hungry, and you have nothing?
So everything sounds good?
Yeah, everything sounds good. So I got in the car the other night. We were coming from the station. That would have been last Saturday night. And I was so hungry. And we'd only had crackers. And I talked about it. And a listener said, what are you going to have for dinner when you get home? So we started talking about food and this segment of the show. And I stick my hand in the pocket on the door. And there was this soft, lemony thing that I don't remember putting there, and I'm the only person that sits there. And I'm like, ew, shaking it off my hand. But I didn't want to tell you, because it was really icky. There's that word again. It's kind of like summer the first time. Just like it, all over my hand, summer the first time. By the way.
But take that out of context.
Listeners are agreeing with me, icky. They agree with me. But they do mention a movie called Summer of 42, which was a good movie. Even though it's against the law, it was a good movie. Jennifer O'Neill.
The Goldsboro song had nothing to do with that movie, but it's a similar context.
Right, right. And Jennifer O'Neill, who was gorgeous in that movie, remember?
Yeah.
Well, of course you remember. You're a guy. You remember that.
And your point is?
All right, coming up, we're going to run out of time, but I'm going to throw out a question here. So McDonald's is going to be celebrating the 250th birthday of the country by re-releasing the fried apple pie. And they're actually tying it in with the birthday of the country. Fried apple pies are coming back. I read that story and I immediately thought, what could I make come back that I really, really love? So think about that, and you can shoot me a text at 312-981-7200. If you could bring back that food that just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, but it's gone, what would it be? And maybe it's the fried apple pie from McDonald's. Who knows? But news is next here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio, Sly and the Stone Family, and Hot Fun in the Summertime. On the day that we'll see the vernal equinox, the advent of summer.
And Dad's Day.
Yeah, and Dad's Day.
And you told that wonderful story of your dad taking you to the hardware store. It was a hardware store, right?
No, it was a an Allied. Well, before it became Radio Shack, it was an Allied store.
Whoops, I got to correct myself then. And I've only heard the story a million times, but I just rewrote it because I had to get the picture of you on the horse up on our Facebook page. So there you are, grinning from ear to ear with your cowboy hat on, wearing your holster, riding the live horse that your papa paid the man to let you ride into the Allied store. So, I love that story. So, let me do a quick correction here.
And
not
you can see that
store.
On our Facebook page.
Yep. Oh, it's not going to let me edit it, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, oh, Facebook is getting
I know.
So wonky about stuff like that.
Should I call it the Allied store? I'm going to call it Allied.
Okay.
People will know what that was. All right, there we go.
And the more I look at the picture, I was missing a tooth or two, I think.
You think?
Yes, I was. I was missing a tooth or two.
You were so proud, though.
Yeah.
And you're wearing stripes.
Just imagine.
Wait.
Going into a store like that on the horse.
But you're not wearing black. I don't hardly recognize you because we actually have a picture of him at a 4th of July picnic when he was 4.
Yep.
And he's wearing black from head to toe. All the other kids are running around in red outfits and white outfits and woohoo, it's summertime.
Well, it was Hopalong Cassidy.
And he's walking around in black pants and a black
or
shirt.
Or Zorro.
And he wasn't even in school yet.
Or Lash LaRue.
Stop. Or Johnny Cash. All right. So McDonald's is bringing back the fried pie, the fried apple pie. I know there are people going, but why? They say it was wildly popular, but they were listening to the health craze that felt that it was a big no-no. And I can hear that crunch. You're too young to ever have had an apple pie, right?
Well, I mean, generally speaking, I've had an apple pie.
But a fried apple pie. When they give it to you, lean over here. Lean over. I've known you. I've known you long enough I can smack you for that. So, but I'm going to warn you.
Okay.
When you're tempted to get one, when they hit the market in June 23rd, whatever you do, do not bite into it right away, because when you bite it, it's a puff with a little bit of apple in there, and that steam comes out, and it will burn your face.
Oh, and they are hot.
And it's hard to explain to people why your face is burnt. I was eating a fried pie.
Okay.
Of course, I've never done that. I'm just telling you, I've seen that happen to people.
Understood. Okay.
So, things that you would like to have come back. Becca.
Their Dairy Queen ran a specific Blizzard for a promotional for Jurassic World back in 2015 called the Jurassic Chomp. It was a peanut butter base ice cream with these chocolate and peanut butter. I don't think they weren't Reese's. There was something else.
But they were little.
But they're about the size of a quarter.
Ooh.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of those mixed in. And I just remember that being like one of my favorite Blizzards. And then obviously once they were no longer promoting Jurassic World, it got taken off the menu. So
yeah.
If I were to pick an item, it would be that.
Ooh, I want to experience that at least once. All right. I had written down my little list of things I'd like to have come back, and then I said to Steve, what would you want to have come back? And you said...
And my first thought, Salerno butter cookies.
And I had that on my list.
Yeah.
Because the beauty of the plain old Salerno butter cookie was it was a circle with a hole in the middle, and you put it on your finger. So you just ate around your finger.
Oh.
Just Salerno butter cookie and a glass of milk. I'm a happy camper.
No, because then you got to stick your whole finger in your milk because you got to wear your Salerno butter cookie.
Yeah.
I actually thought of Swanson's turkey dinners, the Swanson TV dinner that was a slab of white turkey meat in this gelatinous gravy and these crazy powdered mashed potatoes and these weird, freakishly green peas. But it was the greatest
combination. And it was one of the first of the TV dinners, wasn't it?
It was so good.
And who's the guy that I'm thinking of that was a comedian that advertised them?
I have no idea.
Robert Q. Lewis?
You don't know what you did yesterday.
but I think...
You remember Robert Q. Lewis.
May have been. I don't know.
Listener says McDonald's should bring back the cinnamon roll. They were so good. I bet they were.
I used to love the McDonald's fish sandwich.
Well, that's still there. You just can't have it.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, you were a big McRib fan, too.
Oh, I... Well, no, not McRib.
No.
This would have been roughly 79, something like that. They had a steak sandwich that was one of the best steak sandwiches. And it was on a...
It wasn't really
like,
steak.
Like kind of a long... Well, whatever it was,
it was
I loved
leather.
It. It was on kind of a long bun, and it was just so good.
I know people who liked it, really liked it. It's kind of like the McRib. It had a cult following.
Yeah. And sometimes when I was doing a late night show, I would literally, on my way to work, pull into the McDonald's, get a steak sandwich.
Because you can eat it with one hand while you're driving.
With one hand while I was going to work.
But you notice there's never been a law against eating while you're driving. You can't talk on the phone while you're driving, but you can eat a big old sandwich while you're driving.
Yeah.
608 area code says Hardee's Big Deluxe. I don't know what it is, but I think I would eat one if it walked in here now.
It sounds good.
You too? White Hen's Deli Sandwiches, a 331 area code says the White Hen Deli Sandwich. That's kind of interesting. 708 area code says Jell-O Whip. I think that was the Jell-O that looked like Jell-O and it had like a... In the same carton, it had like a whipped cream on top of it.
Maybe.
It was pretty. It was unnaturally pretty. And the chill. The chill. This is dangerous. Mm-hmm. How about, I said to you, and you looked at me and said, huh? Space food sticks. It was all the rage when I was a kid. Space food sticks. Because of the space program, they came out with Tang, of course. But then we had these tubes of chewy something other that was in an aluminum foil.
I have a vague memory, and you kind of would push the tube up as you...
No, you could take it all out of the foil packaging.
Oh, well, then I'm thinking of a different thing.
You didn't want to do that because it didn't look like anything good. You just ate it right out of the package. And they were peanut butter and fudge, and they were really kind of yummy. And we were told that that's what astronauts ate when they were drinking Tang when they were in outer space, which we know now was one of many lies we were told. And then my other thing that I would give anything if it would come back, if anybody out there remembers this, you will, and if you liked it, you will have fond memories of shrimp cocktails that used to come two in a package. And I'm showing you, Becca, that each shrimp cocktail came in a real glass container that when you finished it, it was a juice glass.
Oh.
And it was a fancy, not just a straight glass. It came down and had like a feet on the bottom of it, which meant that they didn't have to give you that much more shrimp. And so you've got little tiny shrimp in cocktail sauce, and you got two in a package. And that in my family was if we were celebrating, we had enough money to buy one, two pack of little tiny shrimp cocktails. I knew it was something big was happening. This is great. Because it probably cost $1.50 for, if that, for two of them.
Wow.
And you could just inhale them. Literally pop the lid and... Oh, Alyssa remembers it. Sauce-E shrimp cocktails. Yes. George says, I agree with Steve on the Salerno cookies. Snaps licorice candy. That's another one people would like to have come back. And I think you can still get Snaps at... there's some catalog where you can get candy from
'60s.
And yeah. I like black licorice, so I would love Snaps. And they came in pink and green and stuff. Dean's Chocolate Ready Shakes. Oh, do you remember those? You bought the shake and you take it home and it would get soft and it became a milkshake. Oh, man. This is dangerous.
Oops.
I know.
We need to take a break, and because he is manning the radio station right now, Big Plug Bob could not free himself from behind the console to to fire up the Zamboni, but we should pitch for our last caller. So yes. If you would like to be our last caller.
Yes.
And possibly win some goodies from this here radio place.
Yes, yes, yes. And maybe you want to just tell us about the food that you're nostalgic for, that you would like to have come back, or maybe you just want to say Happy Father's Day to someone.
312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to be our last caller. And again, you don't have to have anything pithy to talk about.
That's P-I-T-H.
Yeah,
pithy.
Pithy.
You can just stop by.
That's right.
Say hi, as long as you haven't won anything in the last 60 days or the last 2 months, whichever one comes first. So we could celebrate as we slip into the first of summer right here on WGN.
So we'll take a break. More coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Closing time.
Head on out.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
Can't stay here, and you can't hear the rest of that song, but if you would like to hear the rest of that song and discover why, if you ever hear us play that full song, it will be our last time on this or maybe any other radio station.
That's right.
You can look up Red Peters, the closing song, on YouTube. We got to get Red back on the show.
Yes,
that
we
was
do.
That was a fun interview we
yes,
had.
Yes, yes, yes. He's a funny guy, too. Very creative.
By the way, I should mention next week we have a full show.
We do.
We are again. It will be our second week broadcasting from the studios of WKGC-FM in Panama City, Florida. We're going to have a very special guest, Bill Anderson. Country music legend Bill Anderson will be joining us. He is going to be celebrating his 65th anniversary as a member of the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
The longest serving member of the Grand Ole Opry.
And let me tell you guys, we could not rattle off the songs that he has written that have gone to the top of the charts.
Mm-hmm.
It would blow your mind. We wouldn't have time to talk to him.
Yeah.
Literally, hundreds of songs. For people that you go, huh? Really? I mean, he's got a great history.
Yeah.
And I'm just tickled to get him back on the show because coming up in July, that's going to be a big night at the Grand Ole Opry, his 65th anniversary.
Also, the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel, will join us. We may have another very special guest, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't say because we'd have to kill you, and we don't want to do that to our audience, so just be here at 9 o'clock. And,
okay.
So we need to go for our last caller, and since it is our first night in Florida.
Becca's going to choose a number. You choose the number.
11.
Ooh, 11.
Number 11. Okay.
And I think 11 is going to take us to Freeport.
And that will be Jim. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Good, Jim.
Good.
Well, welcome into the show. Why are you up at this hour, Jim?
Well, just listening to you. Been listening to you for a long time.
Well, good, good. Now, do you
okay, let me when was the first time that you started listening to us?
You were WGN.
Okay.
Probably. Okay.
When you started on the overnight show.
Okay, so that was like
roughly 1985.
So like 40 years ago, believe it or not.
That sounds right.
Where were you then? Where were you? Were you working nights or what were you doing?
No, you were keeping me up from work.
okay.
I was probably driving truck or working off the field somewhere.
Yeah.
I worked for FS for quite a while.
And boy, back 40 years ago, when we had truckers, a lot of truckers were listening, but we didn't have cell phones.
Yeah.
So if truckers had something they wanted to say, sometimes they would have to go to a truck stop or a pay phone to call us.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Right.
I
remember listening to your trucker guys on there once in a while. And,
that's right. We had
We had the all-night
truckers.
We had Jim and Penny and...
Yeah, the other dude from...
Oh, I can't think of his
name. The big
That's
orange
awful.
Trucks.
Yeah, from Schneider
Dusty
Trucking.
Dusty the engineer?
Yeah.
Dusty the railroad engineer?
Oh, yes! Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I forgot about Dusty.
Dusty, who would call us sometimes. He'd be...
Driving the train
from Canada back to the United States, and he would always blow the horn for us.
Yes. Right. Wow, that's a great memory.
Yeah.
So what you got planned for Sunday? What's going to happen on Sunday?
Probably working on this telephone and my computer. It cost me $85 to have my computer guy show me how to do a few things on this phone, and now it's going to take me a month and a half to figure out what he told me.
You'll do it. Look at it this way. If you could drive a truck, you can work that.
Yeah.
Because I'm absolutely convinced. You are ahead of a lot of people. If you're not afraid of something like the technology in a truck, then you're good. You'll be fine. Well, I tell you what.
Driving a truck legally for close to 70 years.
What?
Well, that makes me want to ask you how long.
I've been
God bless you.
I turned 86 last May. last month.
Hey, you're a kid.
Yeah, well, congratulations. That's awesome. The
biggest problem is I don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
You're singing my song.
Yes. Well, Jimmy, it's sure nice to meet you in Freeport. And if you'll hold on for a second, we're going to put you back in touch with our new producer, Jonathan. He's going to get some information, and we're going to send you an official WGN Radio T-shirt. And thanks a bunch for sticking with us throughout the years.
This has been a fast 5 hours.
Yeah.
So hold on for a second, and Jonathan will talk to you off the air and get all of your personal information.
Yes. You know what? We're going to have to pick up on this story next week because McDonald's is going to release the apple pies on the 23rd of June. So people would have had a chance to experience them because we're getting the old American Mars bar with the almonds on top. I want that back. Popeye's chicken, dirty rice, McDonald's biscuit and gravy, steak and shakes, mocha shake. Oh, that was so good. Can I just put in a vote for Boone's Farm strawberry wine?
You can do that.
I started thinking of it when we mentioned the Dina Carter song. Mm. And a listener says, Steve, they're not gluten-free, but Jewel has Salerno butter cookies.
I didn't know Salerno was even still in business making those.
And
anymore.
Our listener says the box is the same. I find that hard to believe.
I wonder if anybody makes a gluten-free butter cookie that would taste like Salerno's. Because Salerno's was just the best.
Let's just go on a hunt. Let's just make this our mission to find it.
That works for me.
Let's see here, real quick.
While you're dying, yes. I will mention that within about the next 48 hours or so, you will have Dr. Patrick Crispin's show notes will appear on our blog. And we would love it if you would check out our blog. That's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And we would love it if you would subscribe to our blog. We don't charge you for it. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. And you will find Dr. Patrick Crisman's show notes will magically appear there. Mm-hmm. And don't know when, but over the next couple weeks, we'll tell you when the videos are available from tonight's show with Jack and Jen. And don't forget to check out Jack and Jen's terrific website, jackandjenmusic.com.
And let me repeat, because as I said when they were in the studio with us, I had to send the address to folks because they were spelling Jen as in Jennifer. No, it's Jack Daniels and Gin and Tonic, G-I-N.
Right.
So jackandjenmusic.com. Simple as that.
By the way, a round of applause for Jonathan. This was his first night solo.
Jonathan Lyle.
Terrific night.
Thank you all.
5 hours.
Thank you all so much.
5-hour shift is under your belt now. You can breathe.
That's going right on my resume.
Good. And Becca, thank you. And Bob, the keeper of the big plug, for driving the radio station tonight. And, of course, Tom Hoots from Studio 812, who comes in here and sets everything up for us.
And most of all, thank you guys for hanging out with us. So we will talk to you next week. Stay safe.